Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there, this is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself. And you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Too Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Too Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
Speed God! Lightning in the jungle!
Ladies and gentlemen, the 191 impromptu edition, because I forgot to make the episode. WrestleCast Radio. How you doing?
Wait, Alex? Say 191 again, how you said it.
191! Is that how
that,
you said
that was far worse, far worse.
191, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, that's...
Or 191!
Is that how many billions that he's counting at the moment?
Maybe. Or we could do 191, baby.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Is that how many people that he jobbed out to by being the booker?
Maybe in his lifetime. I got the pencil. Who jobbed more? Who jobbed less? Dusty Rhodes or Suwama?
Ooh, aren't they the same person? What if he reincarnated as Suwama? The dream.
Suwama, baby. I'm the All Japan Crown Champion, if you will. He's like, ain't no way I'm moving into there. Keto Miyahara. So that, I got to finish the first round of the tournament. I've watched four matches so far of the 16.
God.
Jake Lee and Sugi in the main event of night one. I'm excited for
Sun-Yi?
That. Sugi.
Oh, okay. Yes. We all know and love Sugi.
Yeah, the new junior heavyweight champion. As he defeated Akira Francesca a couple weeks ago.
That's bullshit. How did Akira lose? I'm irritated as hell now. How was the Yoshino Jake Lee match, by the way? I was bummed. It wasn't playing right on my television.
It was pretty good. The closing stretch is always good with Yoshino, but I don't know. There's still something with Jake Lee that I just, like, I'm behind him, and I'm glad they're trying it. It's what we've said. You gotta, if you're not gonna do it, then just put it on Miyahara. But if you're ever going to try it, you need to do it now. So, like, I'm glad they're doing it. And, you know, he's got more charisma, which is nice. But, I don't know, there's just still something lacking with Jake Lee. I can't put my finger on it.
Interesting.
Like, they're great, Matt. Like, the matches aren't bad or anything, but it's just, like, I think part of it, too, is I know how bad that Shotaro Ishino's booked like a geek in this company. So yeah. I wasn't really expecting much, if that makes sense.
That sucks. So how was Ishino booked as the aforementioned face? I mean, is it something that he can casually slide into ever since he is no more of Infants Terrible?
I mean, he seemed fine. I mean, he seemed fine, but, you know, these clap crowds really can't tell anything.
Damn. You know, so you can't even tell that on, you know, American crowds. Oh, take that, America.
America, except for AEW. AEW's got there. They've figured it out.
Those marks.
I love
Jesus.
How WWE, like WWE, when they were getting their ass kicked by WCW, they were doing like things like Papa Shango came back and stuff. And they're like, well, we better change this. And they got edgy and sexual and stuff. And now it's like, hey, we might be getting our ass kicked in the next 6 months. Quick, let's bring back Voodoo again. Like, I don't know.
Wait, you mean Elias coming back?
Oh, man, he's reincarnated without a getter.
Oh, God. Is he going to is he gonna come back with Sam's beard?
Maybe. I hope not. Hello, I am a temptress. Did you see Doudrop was going to go kidnap Lily for Eva Marie, and then when she picked up the doll, Alexa Bliss is like, wouldn't do that if I were you. And then, like, the doll, like, winked at her or something. And then she's
what
like,
was
ah!
the crowd's reaction?
Put the doll down. The crowd started
silence
booing
or
me. Like, they immediately started booing before they could pipe in the sound. Like, they weren't ready for the boos to come that fast, so they didn't have anything piped in yet.
What do you think the E would rather hear during that reaction of that spot? Boos or we want Wyatt chants? Which do you think they would prefer?
The boo is because they can probably cover it up easier.
I was saying boo earns.
Like, how bad is it that now that you have live fans, they don't want to see your stuff either, so you have to fake the
Then why are they paying these ridiculous amounts of money to go see this shit live? That's what I don't understand. Just because it's a part of their system, their blood?
Yeah. So I still watch it. It's just... it's content.
I don't even
watch
it anymore. The last Raw I probably watched was like maybe 3 weeks ago.
If I absorbed as much content in like trashy TV shows like we talked about and movies that you watch, it would be different. But I don't do that. I just watch. Like,
I mean, being normal?
Wrestling. Yeah, I just watch. Like me watching like the Real Housewives of like Pittsburgh, whoever the hell you watch, is like me watching Monday Night Raw.
Wow.
I don't know.
The,
I don't know. Like,
the accents and the connotations would be interesting from Pittsburgh, but probably just because, or more Philadelphia, I suppose, especially after watching the wonderful HBO limited series Mayor of Easttown. Kate Winslet, of course, from across the pond, does a lovely, lovely Philadelphian accent. Perfect to a T, especially if you are
like,
my comedy bang bang heads out there that know the Paul F. Tompkins Hall & Oates gimmick.
Everything you just said probably sounds like when I talk Joshi with you.
I know more Joshi now. You got to give me a little.
Yeah,
bit
that's
more,
yeah, and yeah, yeah. That's
like if you talk Gleets.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's like me talking great. It's like, yeah, that's tight. You know, I'm like, yeah, she got a badass accent. Hell yeah, I'm with that.
She also has a badass, you know, thing of baggage and, you know, murder and mystery.
Ooh.
And deception.
So like me watching, I shouldn't say watching, me putting on Raw as background noise just so I can just know things. Is like mm-hmm. you watching F-Boy Island.
Which I finished. And
did
I
you finish? Was
thoroughly.
It good?
I didn't mind
think,
it.
I still think we might, like, as we start, like, and I can get in the habit. Like, I still think we should start, like,
you'll be,
two trashy dudes.
I'll be senpai of shit television. That sounded really bad. Of trashy television. F-Boy Island, I'm not going to lie, it was like Shades 2011, Alex, and a lot of these people. And I was like, whoa, as I'm looking at my a wonderful girlfriend, and I'm like, oh man, good thing she didn't know me back in 2012.
See, we need to watch these trashy shows.
I'm definitely the Casey over here, that's for sure.
Yeah, obviously.
Pretty boy assassin, even though I'm not the pretty boy, but I'm the assassin.
Well, they got a guy that showed him the pretty boy assassin.
Oh yeah, no, if you saw him, you would believe he earns the moniker of that.
Is he as hot as Kelly Oubre Jr.?
He's like if Jordan was 15 years younger and more attractive, it'd be that guy.
Oh, okay.
Meaning just a tall and lanky dude that has that charisma that's like, all right, you know, I could see why he bags three chicks a night. Shout out to JJ.
Shout out to Jordan bagging three chicks a night.
at the old college store.
Hide your wife's edge.
Oh, you're going to the University of Purdue, huh? Let me boil your maker.
Let me boil your maker. Let me be your South Carolina Gamecock.
Oh!
Did you watch that?
You are the president of Strong Style Media.
Did you watch that heel show?
You have stars? No, I wanted to, but I don't have stars. Usually they air like the first episode for free, but I didn't see it anywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Did you bootleg it?
I wasn't sure. Like, yet. I was like, yeah. No, not yet. I'm thinking about it though. Like, I keep seeing a ton of like memes and GIFs about it. And I'm like, damn it, I kind of want to watch this show.
See, I kind of want to wait till at least, like, halfway through. Like, if I know it's, like, a 10-episode season, like, maybe do, like, 5 or 6, because then I could do that month free trial. And then, like, just binge it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or if I see something on, like, Apple or LG or some shit like that, or Amazon, where it's like, get stars for 99 cents for 3 months, but then get auto-billed for $22.47. You're like, whoa, not for stars.
Hey, I just walked there.
Is that your Paw Patrol? Are you getting ready for Paw Patrol?
Oh, man, that's coming up on Friday, man.
Man, how hyped are you? How hyped is your son to go check that
out? I haven't talked to him whoa. Yet. So. That's the one hard part is, like, we would FaceTime at night when he wasn't over. But now Jen works at the new job. She works, like, 1 to close. And I open, like, every day now. So when I get off of work, it's just she's already gone. By the time she gets home, he's in bed.
Oh.
And I'm not going to FaceTime with the Booga Wolf creator.
Huh. Booga Wolf crew. Yeah, I officially don't like the Bears anymore.
Hey, man, come get that purple sign. Let's go.
Gross. Shit was gross. And I was like, don't be taking pictures. 1 year, homie. No, I'm just kidding.
Back your ass up. I want the boy one day to be like, ew, and walk away.
You know what's crazy? My cousin's husband, who is a music producer out of Minneapolis, also has a full-time job, but has a few gold records. I think one platinum record, the likes of, what was that dude? Used to be part of the Lost Boys, I want to say. That Lights, Camera, Action song did.
Oh,
he did, like, a Lil Romeo, like, album, like, 3 songs
I'm
off of, like, its first or second.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
He, like,
cheap?
Did that song,
that
a few
name?
Others. What's that? DJ Monkey Pain.
Whoa. This isn't late night yet, is it?
Oh. Didn't mean that at all.
But the producer to Lights, Camera, Action was Bink.
Mr.
Wait,
Cheeks,
that might be the video, though.
Oh.
Yeah,
remember that
Cheeks.
Guy. But also, he just posted a picture because he's in California. He goes to California every once in a while to, you know, congregate. Picture of Grandmaster Flash and Dr. Dre.
Oh, that's pretty tight.
I'm like, I wrote, that's the coolest picture of two phenomenal DJs and pioneers. I was like, jeez. I was like, how lucky, like his studio, which is located where we used to work at Toys R Us in that area, is amazing in that basement. Like to see him work is phenomenal.
Has he ever done anything with like Jimmy Jam or any of those guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He knows them through back today and stuff like that. He does a lot of like what Khaled would used to do, but a lot of the shit pops off in like Europe. So he'll post, he's like, hey, this song's like number 4 in Iceland. You're like, damn, that's pretty cool, actually. You know, and just getting the R&B sound and whatnot, you know, or hip-hop out that way. So, and he's done a lot of stuff like music, movies, commercials, jingles, all that crazy stuff. So,
hey, WrestleCast got a little, we got like 2 listeners in Belgium or something.
Take those waffles. Bam.
Hell yeah. Well, she said some of your snow bunnies over here.
Yeah, but that's what we need to get you after Paw Patrol.
Send them to Ryan's house. Paw Patrol, man, it's going to be... He's like asking me about buying toys there. I'm like, no, it's not Target. He's like, they don't sell toys. I'm like, no, it's a movie theater. And he's like,
oh, they're going to sell toys. They would be stupid to not sell toys at that theater.
I'm going on Fandango right now to look at how the ticket situation is.
You need to go to that screening I told you at AMC, the kid-friendly screening, where they can, like, jump around and do all that stuff.
They're doing a special 2 a.m. screening tonight, and it's sold out everywhere. Literally.
Shut up. You're kidding.
AMC Eden Prairie Mall 18, 2 a.m. This movie time is sold out. Try another time. We really want you to see it. Coon Rapids sold out. Apple Valley sold out. Southdale. Are you kidding me? At 2 in the morning? Who's taking their kid to Paw Patrol at 2 in the morning?
That's bullshit. That can't be life. That cannot
Is this the low-key time when the parents get to go because they don't want their kids to know they enjoy it type thing?
Damn. If they made a Bluey movie, I would be there in a freaking heartbeat.
Bluey's the deal. Mom! Dad!
My kid's 11, and we sit and watch that shit every now and then. I'm like, she's like, Bluey? I'm like, sure. And then, like, Bluey, be on my phone to check on wrestling news because I'm a nerd. And then all of a sudden, I just look up and I'm like, this show is really educationally fun and very realistic. Well done, Australia.
Mom! Dad! Let's see, where do I want to go? Dan, they got a DLX super screen. He don't need to go to that.
Oh, he does. Dude, I'm telling you, go to that AMC gimmick I showed you.
Mom! Dan! There's not one ticket sold for the one at Marcus Theater at 4:55.
Do you live near Roseville still or Coon Rapids?
I live the other way. I live towards like Apple Valley and Farmington.
So like Southdale? No, that's still like 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I live by like Apple Valley. Like,
I get that, yeah. But I'm just like, because Apple Valley, and that's like the classic. That theater's not that like good. But then again, I went there when it was like a Cineplex, and, you know, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, I might just go to the one in Woodbury by, because I'm dropping him off probably Friday anyway, because I think he only wants to, I think he'll probably want to go home after one day because he just wants to be in his own bed.
Well, why don't you buy the exact same bed?
Because my bed's tighter. My bed's more. He said mine's more comfortable. It's because he's a mama's boy is his problem.
Damn.
That's okay. I can't be mad at him for that. But so I was thinking maybe I'll just
better
go
put
to,
some water on that shit.
I was thinking just going to the Woodbury Theater then at like 5 o'clock, and so I'm gonna bring him home anyway. Then that way he gets home by like 7 or so, and then 7:30, and then. We can get to bed by 8:30.
Damn. Is there even a Woodbury movie theater?
Yeah, it's behind Target or by the GameStop.
Not that bootleg one.
And then there's also the Alamo one.
No, that's closed for a while.
Oh, that was where that one guy came up to us, like the dude was like, the hole in the ground opened up and Beelzebub, oh. Get out.
Forgot about that. Didn't I like, talk shit about him too, or talk shit to him? And then Jordan laughed.
Because we saw Creed too. He took your ID and he's like, ah, Alejandro. And you're like, it's Alex. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, I was like, damn, why you gotta do that kind of way?
I'll let you know. It was probably because of the medicinalness.
He's like, member, you cannot speak while you're in here. Mm-hmm. We will throw you out. I was like, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't leave us alone.
Shout out Isaiah Davidson. Is that the impression you were doing?
Yeah, Isaiah was that guy with a wig on and a hat.
Zeke Nasty. Wasn't he there with us?
Creed, no, it was Jordan.
Oh, I thought there was like four of us. It wasn't Tris. Jeez.
Okay, have you bought tickets on, Block for Social Distancing? Okay, got it. Hey, maybe we'll just take these corner seats by ourselves when I can just plug the kid in the corner and then he can't run around.
I'm telling you, just go to the screening. Welcome to a theater talk, by the way, Paw Patrol on WrestleCast Radio 191. I thought we were talking on the phone for a second.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't talked
anything. Generally,
you're like, we got to do this in 90 minutes. And we've been on here for 22 minutes and have said nothing about wrestling.
Holy shit. I think you mentioned the word wrestling. I might have as well.
I did.
I'm not sure.
You know what I'm going to be doing when I go to Paw Patrol?
What?
I'm going to be wrestling with my kid, trying to keep him in his seat, just like the fans trying to keep the capacity crowd together when we saw Kobe World.
Oh, man.
I failed miserably in that transition.
Yeah, let's leave it to the king, man. Come on.
Yeah.
One shot, Alex, as he used to call me. I forgot. I used to do commercials for our local radio station for one of my previous jobs. And I just saw the radio programmer the other day, and she was like, wow, I really missed when you would cut commercials because you would do it in one take. And she was like, everyone else now is doing like 5 to 10 takes. She was like, why can't everyone else be like you? I was like, I'm not sure. And she was like, you want to do our Twins baseball lead-in announcement? And I was like, maybe, Julie, maybe. But I'm a Cubs fan, so no.
Whoa. There's apparently a show, ABC showing, called Superstar Kobe Bryant.
Like, is it about him? Is it like a Little Rock?
Yeah, I just saw a commercial. It says episode 2, the evolution of Kobe Bryant, including his triumphs and indiscretions, complications in his personal life, and his tragic death.
Wow.
Oh, it's about different people. Like, oh, there's one for Kobe. Well, I got to record that shit. The first one was Whitney Houston.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Jeez.
All right, I'm recording this Kobe one.
Saving on
my love. Then I can sit there and cry tomorrow night.
Oh,
I won't
hey,
be playing.
We all need a good cry.
Kobe. Man, I remember the day after he died. I left work the next day. I was there for like a half an hour. I was like, I have to go home. I can't do this.
Yeah,
and they're like, damn,
that was
man,
rough.
Really?
That was rough for you.
I was
man.
Like, you have
I
no
totally
idea like
it.
How big of a deal this. And they're like, all right, no, it's cool, man. And I was like, yeah, I have to leave. I'm sorry.
No, like. I totally get it. I remember, I forgot who it was. It was probably a Jordan thing where Days, where are they going with this? He made like a joke and you like, and we made jokes. We rag on each other, you know, in the strong style family because yep. 2021, right? And you were just like, no, I am not having that. Like at all. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I think I had, like, a little thing on deck, and I was like, nope, I am not saying that. And then those magazines I gave you finally, like, a year later.
Hell
like,
yeah.
When I saw those, like, I am grabbing all of these for Ryan, because I totally understand his grief.
I got those in that drawer. I have the I have a couple other tribute ones that I got. The NBA 2K like 18 cover or whatever, and a few other things in there that once I move into like the, my place with Demetrius, I'm going to frame all those magazines and put them in my, Demetrius is taking a whole basement because that's, he's already there and that's what he wants. And then upstairs, Sydney will have a room. I'll have a room. And then there's a third room that's going to be the streaming room. And I'm going to paint the wall like the green screen green color.
Okay.
So then that way, like, I have a whole green screen on a whole wall. And then the rest of the walls I'm going to put up, like, you know, I'm going to, like, frame the, my Kobe magazines and hang them up and stuff.
That would be rad.
Yeah.
So,
then,
so
then I can,
like
walk around while I'm
house.
On screen. Yeah, yeah. I'll just have my paraphernalia, my memorabilia everywhere.
Man, I can't wait. Ladies, he's single.
Ready to tinkle.
Why can't we find you one of the unicorn girls that we see at these All Elite wrestling shows, by the way? Not only at All In, but every week I'm like, oh, wow, there's like 9 girls like in that section. That's way more than usually that's at a wrestling event. Or hell, even at a GCW event. Would you take a GCW fangirl, Ryan?
I mean, that'd be tight. Yeah, why not?
I mean, if she introduced a pizza
like,
cut, would you be opposed?
Maybe. I'd be like, you know he gimmicks that shit, right? Like, he puts his thumb over it, so don't. like, I just want to make sure that you know that they gig before he does that. So just let's not take it too serious.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Like that man holds his finger over it, like, not trying to give away the business, but, like, I don't need no bitch coming at me with a pizza cutter. And the Sacramento Kings are your 2021 Summer League champions.
Oh, wow. Demetrius is excited.
So I don't think we need to necessarily go through every match.
Okay.
I know a lot of tonight, I think we just talked about a couple of things, but, like, I know a lot of tonight we were going to just talk about, you know, we were just going to talk random rumors and news and just, did I fall asleep while typing this? Because it says Aita versus Kota Minoura, rating 3.5, winners. Minoura via gong, MNBN, space B, space Y, space 7, space, space, slash, space, slash, semicolon, LLNY, NY, NO, space V, NO, space P, half bracket 8.
I think you were just, A, excited and maybe a little confused that Kota Minoura did beat Aita. You know, in the special attraction match of 2021 Kobe World. We'll go with that, right?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? Did I fall asleep with my hand on the keyboard or something?
I mean,
no,
this was the night you did fall asleep, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. So this is when I was like, oh, I can't do it, brother.
Ladies and germs, since Ryan has trying to get me into the pure life, what I'd say within the last 5, 6, 7 years, and the events always started at 1, 2, or 3 a.m., I've always tried. I've given, you know, my best shots, but I'd always fall asleep the second or third match, depending on whatever ingredients I was on. But this time, I'm not going to lie. I am pretty proud of the weekend of shows of Dragon Gate, not only to chit-chat with you, but, you know, you did a pro wrestling summit, which, again, you can watch every Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, twitch.tv/WrestleCast. Is it WrestleCast or WrestleCast Radio?
WrestleCast Radio.
WrestleCast Radio, twitch.tv/WrestleCast Radio. And always, he's doing streams, you know. He's got, you know, doing streams whenever he can. So check it out, subscribe, follow, sub, all that good stuff. But you did that, you know, 2 hours. It was great. You invited me on, and I froze up like an asshole. And I was just like, kudos to all that. I'm like, he hit him in the ass. And you're like, he gave him the vertical suplex into. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's why you do you.
He hit him with
just
a colorful
asshole. You know, that was like,
shout out to William Hornbuckle, the CEO and president of the MGM Resorts. William Hornbuckle. I had to interrupt you to say that. I had to speak that into fruition, but I apologize. Please continue.
God, I wish that was my name. But I will say, I think we made it into the Genki match, and then we were both like, let's tap it. We'll finish it in the morning, which we did. And then the next night, I hung out with some family a little later than I expected. A few shots, a few glasses of wine, and a few other fun activities partook. But I think I stayed up to about two-thirds of the Speedstar final. So, again,
yeah,
very happy with the majority of that time, as I think I was on an average about 4 hours of sleep. And God bless Sydney for walking in and saying, who's this guy? He's sleeping. Shh. And I was like, that's the best thing in the world. So
Sydney's
shout out,
like,
to Kid Campbell.
Alex is sleeping. I was like, oh, sorry. And then he, like, went over to play with his toys and, like, started picking him up to bring him into his room to not wake you up.
Oh. And then we played toys, and I was baller AF.
Hell yeah.
This Paw Patrol.
He's like,
things don't mess around.
Pups. And he's screaming. I'm like, why are you so loud? He's like, let's go, pups. I'm like, damn. Like, you're so aggressive.
To be fair, this episode of WrestleCast Radio, episode 191, brought to you by Paw Patrol.
Yeah, we called it during the Masquerade versus RDD six-man. Because I remember you were like, just watch it after I was done with what I was doing. And then I finished that match, and I was like, oh, my God, I literally just finished one match. I was like, no, it was Ace and Minoru.
Was it after that one? Oh, so wouldn't you? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Because I remember I was like, I'm literally, or maybe it was the sixth man, because I was like, I'm just starting Okuda Horiguchi, so we might as well watch everything together. Because that sixth man was like the famous match that show.
I don't know.
A lot of people.
18 days ago.
There's a lot of people that are saying Shin Skywalker KZ is the Dragon Gate match of the year. Some people are saying it's the best Kobe World main event they've ever seen.
Wow.
I went 4.5, which is still really high. But did I undervalue it? Do I need to watch it again? Like, I feel like it was really good. And, like,
I mean, they brought the tussle to each other. I mean, it was very, I mean, dare I say, brutal. Well, for these two guys to kind of show, I would agree with the 4.5, to be honest with you. I think if KZ would have picked up the victory instead of just being the Bray Wyatt of Dragon Gate, if you will, you know, kind of gets his, you know, season push, and then, you know, his delegate to background dance. But anyways, I would say no. I think you're right. For the best Dragon Gate Shun Skywalker title match, I would say yeah. I man, I'm gonna have to go down my list. But yeah, I don't think I had one in our half year awards.
Oh yeah, we're so bad at half year awards.
I think on the cusp, I had him on there.
I was going to go through what I had here. God, I got so many Dragon Gate shows. I can tell Dragon Gate's what I watch the most of. I have, like, Dragon Gate, Truth Gate, Tag 1, Dragon Gate, Gate of Destiny, Tag 2. Like, I'm just watching the Storm Gate, Tag 1. Like, I'm watching house shows all the time. Like, I watch so much more Dragon Gate, I think, than anything else.
Which is great, because they've been doing a lot of fun stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. The Corican, did the Corican have anything else on it? There's one I'm trying to find that I wanted to see where I had rated it. And that's what I'm looking at now. Oh, that's on the King of Gate, never mind. Was it on Dead or Alive? No, Oh, no.
Yeah, that was the Kakuta match, right?
Yep, when he got hurt. Yep, so that's... And who knows what that could have been?
I mean, the Samoa match was pretty damn good. It's because I think he had a really good foil in Kazuma Sakamoto for that match, honestly. But I wouldn't say that was his best one. The Benkei match, wasn't it his first defense where, you know, he kind of, you know, gets hurt and does the moonsault and people complained and blah, blah, blah.
What about, because he won the title at, okay, it wasn't that night. There's, I don't know why I can't find this. Oh God, I have more Dragon Gate that I didn't even realize that I have that's just listed. So Aiden Skywalker, I went 4. So I didn't have that higher. There's one I just can't seem to find. I don't know why I can't find it. What about Shun worked Kazuma. And it was really good.
Yes.
That one against Kazuma Sakamoto was really good.
Isn't that what I just said?
did you? I thought you said something else for some reason.
No, I said Kazuma Sakamoto, not Kazuma. But that was Memorial Gate, right?
I think so. I for some reason, I'm not finding this. What about his match with Kaito Ishida?
I think I was more disappointed that Kickboy didn't come through in the match itself, but also with the title exchange. But that was again, that was very early on in Skywalker's, you know, title defenses. To be fair, so I think this KZ match, because Shun Skywalker has these matches, especially with the Sakamoto match with Kazuma Sakamoto. I think that's when he started to realize the beats and how to control a pace to a championship match. That's why I was like, this was a great transition for him, because, you know, he was coming through, he was going a little fast, you know, people were complaining about some injuries in some matches, some his fault, some not. Not saying his fault entirely, but, you know, he had a part in some injuries, but I would say this KZ match, and you know me, I'm hard on KZ as much as you enjoy him. I just wish, again, that's why I used the Bray Wyatt comparison. It's just like he's prone to do so much more, but it's just they always take the rug, you know, from underneath him, and it's just like, all right, here you go, back to the line, or back to the middle, I should say.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I think the KZ one is the right call. I'm with that. I'm definitely with that.
So in theory, then, wouldn't this be the best, Dragon Gate Championship match of 2021?
Yep. That's cool, man. It was a great match. The only thing that like, I think bothered me the most, and it wasn't, I guess I didn't even think about that. Let me pull up Speedstar Final. Where's my Speedstar Final results? I went 4.5 on that one too, which part of it is because I remember when we were talking King of Gate, and I said, look, I don't know why, but it feels like every 5 years this happens. I just feel like they're going to put the damn thing back on Yamato. And I was like, I want KZ, but they're like, well, we'll see what happens. And then he doesn't win King of Gate. You know, he's eliminated by Kota Minoura.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God, he's not. And then he just up after he beats Kai. I'm challenging for the title at the Speedstar Final. It's like, no, he's going to win. And then he wins.
Yeah, you were wincing into it, you know, going in on that Sunday. It was something you didn't want to happen. But, hell, you predicted that, like you said, you know, a month prior. We're like, oh, it's not the main event. So, yeah, new champ.
And I kept looking at things, and I'm like, I see a trend here, and it's not in a good thing happening.
What, veterans winning like, championships?
Every flipping.
So how would you grade Shun Skywalker's championship reign of 2021 then? Is it a...
I mean,
Success. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I think it was a success.
I was going to say more in the middle or a success.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of keys on that his key, you know, his title had rings. Like, he was definitely getting his defenses. I think the problem that people are going to have with his reign is bad luck, which you can't control.
Correct.
Like, Ben Kay's been doing that spot where he goes for a spear and somebody punches him or kicks him 100 times, and it just happened at this show that he got hurt. You know what I mean? Like, and it was Shun's first big match. He didn't know what to do. So, and everyone craps on him. Oh my God, he kept beating him up. Well, when he did those three standing moonsault knees, I don't think he knew he was unconscious, to be fair. He didn't know he was unconscious until he tried to pin him and he didn't kick out. That's when he realized he was unconscious. Because, you know, heat of the moment, you're going into your finishing stretch, you're just going, and you assume he's selling. I would have just assumed he was selling.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else, well, then he did a moonsault. Yeah, I understand he did a moonsault after, but it was
but
like
he did
the safest moonsault. He landed on his knees and his elbows. He didn't even touch him. And you're not going to just immediately go back and pin him again and make your world title match look like shit. Because if I'm Ben Kay, I'm mad at you for making me look like shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
he'll do it on his own accord, that Ben Kay. Not that he looks like shit, but just changes look.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I don't see one bit of an issue with the way that match ended. It's somebody who's just back from excursion, and it was a freak accident, and he didn't know what to do, and he panicked. And he just did a moonsault and ended the match. Great.
And as we talked about it, we thought he handled it spectacularly, you know, to go for two moonsaults, by the way. We thought, you know, everything was, you know, handled accordingly. And, yeah, I would say it was a success. You know, I've been a quasi on the fence, you know, like KZ with Shun Skywalker. But, you know, seeing what he could do with the championship, seeing what he could Masquerade, you know, as a faction, you know, kind of coming through in 2021.
Alex got drop kicked. We'll see what happens. You know, and that's the other thing too, is while we wait for Alex to get back on here, people also, you're like, well, what about oh my God, there's so much blood. Ick. This guy on the Oakland Athletics got hit a fastball hit off his face. Ick. The pitcher. The hip hop kicker to match was a complete fluke. You know what I mean? Like that was by no means anything that was intentional. Like he got a drop toe hold and he went to slap the mat to make the sound and he separated his shoulder. And people are like, gosh, Shun Skywalker, he hurts people. No, it's a freak accident. It's pro wrestling for one thing. Like, let's not forget that we're talking about a sport where the point is to hit your opponent and try to beat them up. I understand it's choreographed, and I understand it's scripted. I've done it. I've done it for a few. You know, I haven't had just, you know, a match in my career. Like, I wrestled off and on for 10, 12 years. So like, I know how it works. I ran a professional wrestling company. I understand how it works. There's risks involved with these things. And people got to realize that it's just one of those situations where Shun Skywalker just had some bad luck. Don't scarlet letter his title reign because of that. You know what I mean? Like let's not go that far. Let's not forget that this happened. This is a good reign. Kaito Ishida, I feel like I like that match better than Alex did. I can't find it for whatever reason. I loved the Kazuma Sakamoto match. I loved the KZ match. The Ben Kay match was really fun until what it was. So I think there's a lot more to it than people give him credit. His title win against Aitao in 4 stars. You know, he beat up all of RED to advance. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And, okay, Yamato's beaten Shun Skywalker now every time they've wrestled. Cool. Now that's a good story you can tell. Can Can the upstart Shun Skywalker finally defeat the veteran in Yamato? We'll never know. We'll have to wait until they ever work again. But I think it was done well. And his reign was fun. His reign was done really well. If you want to also talk about something that was really good, Doyoshi versus Eita Bibi Hulk was fantastic. I went 5 stars. I know I'm the high man on this, but the emotion behind it and just the whole, this is the last time I'm going to see Masato Yoshino wrestle. You know, it's like Liger for me. You know, Yoshino's been a guy that I've followed for, you know, well over a decade, 15 years I've been a fan of this guy. So watching him go out, I was glad I got to see him, you know, go. It was perfect. Him and Doi, Speed Muscle, Doyoshi, whatever you want to call him. Fantastic team. And almost everything that I had said happened. I knew. God, it won't let Alex get back on. 4, 7, 8, 5, 7. Oh, 10, 60. I knew it was going to end the way that it did. In a way, I thought Eita was going to defeat Masato Yoshino with the Sol Naciente, and he was going to give Eita the move, and have Eita advance, kind of the start of the babyface turn, which didn't happen, which is fine. But he does get the win, 2 Imperial Unos, in the main event of the Speed Star Final. So just an incredible, incredible match there.
Alex Yoshino
got drop kicks. Yeah.
I just got hit by
That's weird.
Scooter.
Couldn't get on the site.
I was going in with the shoulder, then I tripped and then busted my shit.
you hip-hop kick into your own shoulder?
Yeah.
And I said that too, like I jumped in right after and said, I think people got to realize that we're covering a sport that's involving physical fighting. So
yes.
Unfortunate things happen, you know, so you can't hit shit on it too bad. I talked to the main event on the other show also. Speaking of poop, what about the Klenpa Battle Royal, which UT wins the Battle Royal, and he gets, like, butt wipes for a year. And Ho-Ho
Lou
is like,
yeah,
oh, he's
good. That's a great segue. That is great. Well done, Ryan. Well done.
Ho-Ho Lou's like, oh, he won all the toilet paper. I want it. And he's like, I should challenge him. And Jay's like, I don't know if you can go in there. He's like, I'm going to go challenge him. And, like,
yep.
You can kind of hear, like, some restlessness, and then he stops. I don't remember who it was, if it was Anthony W. Morey or whoever was doing commentary, like, looked at him and was like, would you sit down? And then he stopped and sat down, I guess.
That's but, too great. Oh, my God. Clean pie. I forgot about that. That's so awesome. Which, by the way, maybe Ho-Ho Loon was onto something, since, of course, we all know the dreaded toilet paper panic of 2020 is apparently going to be showing its face again in 2021. So
damn
go
it.
Get vaccinated, y'all. Be a part of the sheep. Just kidding.
Shout out to also when Kento hit the SBL on Jason Lee. And what's his name? Jay says, you know, Kento was taught personally by a very famous returning worker how to do that. You know, meaning ha-ha, John Cena taught him that. And Ho-Ho Lou's
yeah.
like, I know who he is. So Ho-Ho Lou's so tight. Oh, I know him.
Didn't you say,
he probably met him
didn't you say that Ho-Ho Lou was on that Kurt Angle podcast?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but he did the Kurt Angle show.
That's rad. That's really cool.
He talks about his company in China that he had started and stuff.
Man, that's I love it. Because
Ho-Ho Lude was he was in the Cruiserweight Classic, and he was like the biggest geek of them all because he didn't even have like wrestling gear.
Yep, yep.
Ho-Ho
Lude signed for one day.
Yeah, he lost to he lost to a Noam, or he lost in the second round to Noam Dar.
Noam Dar.
Chairshot Radio Network. So Kurt Angle's podcast is on Blog Talk?
No, it can't be.
There we go. Yeah, it says Chairshot Radio Network, broadcasted in wrestling. Kurt Angle's podcast. Dragon Gate wrestler and Hong Kong Pro Wrestling Federation founder Ho Ho Loon.
So he has a different one from Conrad Thompson?
I guess. But he's on our territory. This is a year ago.
Oh. Cumulus Podcast Network? That's what I see. That's gross.
You wanna go, Kurt? See.
Shout out to Kurt Angle and his AEW teases.
Yeah. Real quick, just wrap this up real fast. King Shimizu, I think he is proving people wrong that this is a gimmick that's going to stick and last. I think he is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. You hate it.
I don't hate it at all. At first I was a little confused, but then kind of watching it a little more, everything that Shimizu does, honestly, he makes work. Like the Ultimo,
yeah,
you know, thing, the one beforehand when he had to shave and become the, was it Buko or what was the whole thing?
When he was King Boku.
Boku, yeah. King Boku. No. But you know, the origination when he was at R.E.D., his head was shaved, and he had to go back to his original gimmick. Yeah, Boku.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it was one of those things too where I think it was time for Kaito Ishida and Kazuo Sakamoto to change the titles. They really didn't have anyone left to work. So, I mean,
yes.
Kudos to them having a fantastic reign. I mean, they might be my tag team of the year right now. They were tremendous.
Wow.
But I love Susumu and King Shimizu, man. This is just a fantastic team. So they're great. Then we had Hot Potato City. Genki beats Kaisuke Okuda for the Brave.
Yep.
The next night, he loses it. He loses it to Kagetora, who then like five nights loses it to SB Kento. So SB Kento's champ now. He's feuding back with Kaisuke Okuda.
I'm not angry at that. That's the best news I think I've ever heard all week.
Oh, I love this match.
All out.
Hell yeah. You know, Natural Vibes, high-end Ben K Dragon Kid the next night. Yokosuka wins with the world liner on Dragon Kid, which was tight. That was that crazy over-flipping a normal Code Red twice. It was a Dragon Run of Code Red. Apparently, Susumu Yokosuka has only been able to do that with Dragon Kid. They're the only people that can do that together. Neither of them get to work with anyone else. So that's why they just, let's just pull it out here. It's one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. Go look at it. It's called the World Liner. And then, thankfully, Masquerade successfully defended the King of Trios titles. Dragon Dio with the Reptilian on Shuji Kondo. I didn't think Agarizo was going to win anyway, but Toru Washa, or Washi, by the way, from DDT was great.
DDT, yep.
He was great in this thing.
He was represented very well, I would say.
Really good stuff. And then Diamante taking the mask.
He's pulling double
Ultimo
duty. Oh, yeah. Yes, yep.
I was
the
like, what the hell?
Switcheroo.
Somebody's like, Ultimo must know that he can run shows in Mexico again and needs a new angle for his next show. So he's going to have to work Diamante in a places match. but good show. Like, these two shows were fantastic. They really were.
Yes, they were great watchers. It was good. It was a send off, of course, for, you know, kind of what the Speed Star final was all about. But you know, yes, the Booker man, like you said, taking L's, taking names and whatnot. But you know, it was all for the company, and it'll be interesting. Where they kind of go, you know, from now. Yamato, you know, as we said, is the champ. So we'll see who the contenders were. But my only question to you, Ryan, is Big Kento winning the previous title that, of course, Keisuke Okuda, I think, is definitely one of the wrestlers of 2021. How could you disagree holding that Open the Brave Gate Championship to a high esteem for, what, 8 months? It seemed like an eternity, but in a good way, because he would always wrap his opponents around his crazy legs and choke them out. But with SB Kento now holding that championship, man, do we see him possibly, I don't know if be against Yamato, but do you think it's something that he could be champ by 2022, Open the Dream Gates champ, of course?
No, I think it's actually the other way. I think what could happen is Kento just drops it back to him. I think SB Kento is going to be your next. I think SB Kento is going to win the Dreamgate title a lot faster than people think. A guy his age is going to win. I really do. I think he's going to be champion within the next 3 years. I really do. Maybe even two. I've never seen somebody so young. Like, here's the thing that's crazy about it. Usually with these young guys, you go, holy hell, they're fantastic wrestlers, but they're never going to get over because they have no charisma or no gimmick or no crowd reaction or like ability to interact with the crowd, or they don't just understand how it works, but they can do all the moves. Yep. SB Kento understands psychology. He has charisma. He has gimmicks, you know, SBK when he's beating somebody up. He interacts with the crowd. He's a piece of shit in the ring. You can tell.
Hey, the ladies are wearing his merch.
Yeah, he's got his own goofy hat that just says SDK. Like, it looks like when they made that lid for $5. Like, he's sitting there. He comes out and says that he's making the people in the back play his music for the trios matches because he wants to sell more of the Dragon Gate 2021 CDs because his song's on it. So he wants to make sure you hear his song singing. So, like, the worst part of SB Kento is his wrestling. He's a fine wrestler, but he just hasn't got there yet. But everything that
but
you
it's
usually
fine.
Say,
he's
well,
20,
can...
21 tops,
exactly.
Right? So, I mean, he already has what it's hard for most people to find is that character, that charisma, and making a connection, whether good or bad, with that audience. And he's done it in a COVID era.
Everything that you say you can't teach to a wrestler, he understands. Mm-hmm. When they go, well, I can teach him how to bump and work, but I can't teach him how to get over. That's the difference. He hasn't learned how to do everything in the ring yet. Like
smoke and mirrors.
He's so young. But he understands everything else. Mm-hmm. This guy is going to be a star, and he's going to be a star for a long time.
He's like an Ata, but different. Like, but he just has that scumbag appeal, but it's like, wow, when he turns baby,
but like,
he's going to draw them money.
And even Ata went on excursion in Mexico. That's why he's doing the Noah stuff with the Perros del Mal. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Kento's going on any kind of an excursion. Like, this guy headlined Dangerous Gate against Dragon Kid.
Yep.
I mean, he's already been in the places. And his hair was beautiful in that match. I'm so mad that he didn't get that shit cut. But like Alex, I remember 2020.
The trio of SB Kento and Hip Hop Kakuta and Jack A. Kamei. I remember seeing them on a few shows last year and thinking, wow, these guys as young boys have character, connect to the crowd, can flow in and out, especially when they were doing six-man tags, when they were trios. Like, I was like, wow, they had, you know, they lost the match, but they had everybody's attention. So it's, again, so seldom that they just understood everything. And then Kamei gets hurt. You get Kakuta and SBK. You know, having great, stories kind of built to them by joining R.E.D., you know, just kind of building their character even more, and they just enhanced that group.
usually the group enhances the talent or tries to get them over. No, they made it their own where I was like, shit, they're going to overtake Aita soon.
Mm-hmm. Like it's remarkable to think about. Like, Hip Hop Kakuta didn't have his first match when he was just Madoka Kakuta until that Rainbow Road, which was empty arena. This guy's been he's only been on TV since June of last year. Alex, June of last year, and in January or March or whatever it was, or what was it, May? When did he go for the title?
Hmm.
He was
Kakuta?
He was at Dead or Alive. So May
Dead
5th.
Or Alive was that, the May.
Because Dead or Alive was the, yeah, not Dangerous Gate. Dead or Alive was SB Kento and Dragon Gate. So that was the Kakuta Skywalker match. So May 5th, he wrestled for the Dreamgate title. He made his debut in June of 2020 in front of no fans. In less than 11 months, this guy was in a title match. And he's not even the best one. It's Kakuta or Kento. And once again, Sora Fujikawa hasn't wrestled since August 16th of 2020 when he got his shit kicked in by Masaki Mochizuki, and he just hasn't been back since. He broke his jaw.
Hmm.
If you go back, and this guy, they had, like, he was tagging with Takedo Kamei against, or he was, yeah, so it was, he said seven matches, Sora Fujikawa. His first match was Kakuta's first, I think. It was Kenta Kabune and Takedo Kamei against Madoka Kakuta and Sora Fujikawa at the day nine of the King of Gate. So, like, this dude's had seven matches, and a lot of people thought he was the best of the four. And we didn't see him. And then they just debuted two new guys on that last show. I don't know if you ended up getting a chance to
see that. I haven't had a chance to see that. Oh, it's probably gone from the system, jerk.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. So it's just, this is once again why you want to talk about how you run a development. This is how you do it. You do it in-house, and you push the damn kids. Because, you know, I'm going to pull up Madoka Kakuta. He's 21 years old. I'm on his cage match right now. His first match, yep, was that match. That's what I thought. June 6th, 2020.
Jesus.
Madoka Kakuta and Sora Fujikawa debuted. And in 11 months, he was already going for the title.
Huh.
Think about that. Like,
oof.
It's just insane. Funky Jackie Kamei, he made his debut in April of 2019 against Kento Kabune in a 5-minute draw. So he had maybe 20 matches before that one. And then looking at SB Kento, that was his debut too.
Hmm.
So I mean, Kamei and Kabune started in April of 2019, and before that tag match, that was match 154. 21 matches for Kento Kabune before the match with Sora Fujikawa and Madoka Kakuta. And if you look at Takedo Kamei, he went from 96 to 70. He had 20 matches. So those guys are 20 matches in when Kakuta and Fujikawa made their debut. Think of those four guys in the ring together. 43 matches between them.
It's the future. Just imagine the next 10 years.
Oh,
with
my
those
God.
Guys.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Just incredible.
See you, Yamato.
Real quick, I want to touch on this. I know you didn't get to check it, I don't think, but I just want to touch on it just because it just happened the other day. Triple Mania.
Yes. You talk,
and
I'll BRB.
All right, well, you BRB, I'm going to do this real quick. Correspondent in the house. You there?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Wait.
What? George Zinsker, ladies and gentlemen, Sportscast Radio's Owen, coming in here for the hot tag from Alex, as Alex is BRBing. But myself and Jordan, we watched Triple Mania, and it was fun, man. I had a hell of a good time watching this show.
Entertaining from start to finish.
And we can kind of just run through this here. I'll get your take on some of the stuff, and we'll kind of just go through it. But I don't know what they called Black Widow, Venicide, and Terror Purpura, which was Black Widow, Venom, and Brian Cage. Black Taurus and Brian Cage played Venom, and Thanos took on Estrella Cosmica, which is Super Sexy 2, Arcano, who was El Bikino, and Leyenda Americana, which was Octagon Jr. or Captain America. Captain America, it's 6:30. It's a beat panel. I know you're excited for Marvel.
Jordan, two questions. A, did you ever buy the flowers?
Yeah, of course I did.
That's what my second question was. But...
Jordan, what did you think about the Marvel match?
It was entertaining. It was everything that I wanted it to be. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of luchadors doing lucha stuff in Marvel masks. It made me happy.
Alex, one of the most terrifying things ever, Arcano, who's Spider-Man, came down from the ceiling on a rope that went from the upper deck to the stage. And it was like a hook, and he was going down it. And he was going down it upside down. And it stopping, and he'd shake, and it would slowly go in and stop, and he'd shake again because it kept stopping and not making it all the way down. All I'm thinking is El Bikino's not going to get to work the tag match later because something's going to happen here. I was terrified. As he lands, Jordan's like, all right, I'm back. I'm like, bro, you almost just watched somebody die. You missed somebody almost die here. It was terrifying.
He must have been high on that team. Meets that Canelo was having a few years ago. Believing he could do anything and everything. Jesus, what have they not learned from, you know, past wrestling instances from, you know, dealing? Yeesh.
Well, Canelo just says this, man.
Oh, Jordan, that was another question I was going to ask. What do you think of Redcon 1 boycotting and taking their money from the Schwarzenegger classic?
I could not remember what this is in reference to, so I don't have an opinion.
Oh, Schwarzenegger basically said, screw your freedom to the anti-vaxxers. And then Redcon 1 says, we donated hundreds of thousands to the Arnold Classic and this and that. And now there's a thing that they're trying to start against Schwarzenegger now because of that, which they took one line, the whole speech.
Yeah. It's the world we live in. I'll leave it at that.
You know, you could
again.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
That's Canelo. Nothing beats Canelo. Canelo's promo game this year, most improved aspect. You talk about people learning the ropes and things that you can't teach. That man had no charisma, but you know what? That man comes out now like a G.
Yeah, you get in his face and he goes stand there and tell you to sit down. He's psyched. Then we had one of the biggest pops. This Alex is what I like to call where Jordan's sixth sense of wrestling does come into play. Because as I'm popping hard, he also goes, I acknowledge that these guys are fantastic. And I'm like, God damn it, you're right. It's like when he first saw Kota Ibushi, and he's like, I bet this guy's really good. And I was like, you know something, you're right. And he said that about these men who came out here. We had this was the group, Miss Disease Jr., the Sin Cara, came out with a little baby, and I'm thinking, if he drops his baby from the top rope, they're going to stop his event. He's like, he comes out like the Lion King garb, and he holds the baby in the air like it's the next era of Sin Cara. It's like he's Rafiki and shit. I'm like, put the baby down. And then Alex, after that, you know who comes out? Our guy, part of Poder del Norte, part of Brava Jr., makes his way out. Then it was Aramis, and one of the other members of Del Norte was Tito Santana. Drago's next. Then it was Nito Hamburguesa. Then Mocho Cotto Jr., Superfly, La Parca Negro comes out, Mr. Iguana, Pimpinella Escarlata, Volano 3 Jr.
Iguana, tight.
Yeah, do you remember Mr. Iguana, Alex, from that Bob 6?
I do. I was surprised there? I heard the word Daga a little while ago. Did his wife show up?
No, there was no Drago, no Daga.
Oh, it's a Daga, okay.
No, Daga sucks. They're like, stay home. But yeah, Mr. Iguana came with the iguana, and Jordan goes, "That guy's got an iguana in his mouth." And I forgot about the gimmick. Like, what are you talking? I was like, "Oh my god, it's right, Mr. Iguana." Then Valeno 3 Jr., Mamba, and Arcanus last, with Mr. Iguana defeating Carta Brava Jr. at the end. Mr. Iguana goes to celebrate, to which I pop. And then Jordan goes, "Wow, I found my new favorite trio." Jordan, who made their big debut in AAA at this event?
That was like Los Dinamita, man. The Nueva
Generacion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, New Generation Dynamite. New Dynamite Generation. That's such a great name.
Yeah, they rock. They showed up at Triple Mania. They told CML to kick rocks. I was like, oh my god, because I'm sitting there and I didn't say anything because I'm like, he hasn't seen this, so he probably doesn't know anything. But I'm like, that really looks like Sansone, and that looks like Forrest Farrell. And I couldn't tell. I could not tell if Quachero. I never can recognize his mask. And then Jordan goes, "Oh my god, these guys are," and they beat the shit out of Mr. Iguana, by the way. And he pulverized them. And then he says the name, and I was like, "Oh my god, it really is them. They're here. Oh my god, they left CMLL. This is fantastic.
They're
and
taking over."
And they look like $1 million, didn't they, Jordan? They just look tremendous.
Dude, like I said, they took it was like a 7-minute walkout to beat that dude's ass. It was awesome.
and then like people are trying. Raiders are the first team to require fans at home games to show vaccination cards. Wow.
Whoa.
Mark
Davis
is goofy ass coming in.
By the way,
like,
camera work during this match, during the Marvel match, is awesome. How they
are
just,
you watching
like,
it right now?
Fanned around, yeah, and just watching the clip.
Yeah, they had a drone going like Noah.
That was awesome camera work there.
And then
Mexico.
And then, like, other wrestlers start trying to come in the ring, and the cameraman's trying to come in to help, and they're beating up security and cameraman and jobbers.
The cameraman ate it so hard.
The cameraman comes around the corner to film things, and Sansone is just kicking everything in sight. It was kind of like when Paul Heyman told the ECW guys, anybody who tries to stop you, you hit them. So the cameraman comes around the corner, and Sansone does like a shooting drop kick under the bottom rope and smokes the cameraman into the guardrail from the ringside. Like, he was done. Just boom. So that happened. Then then Poder del Norte come out, and they turn into a stare down. They just start throwing blows, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is going to be a trios feud for the decade. And they start whooping their ass. And then La Impera comes out with Sam Adonis and DMT Azul. And I can't remember who the other guy was. Diamante Azul. Why can't I think of who
Puma Kid?
I believe his son is the Diamante in Dragon Gate too.
Oh, okay, very cool.
I could be wrong.
I love that connection.
But yeah, they come out. It was Puma King. Was the other one, Sam Adonis, and they start beating the shit out of Poder del Norte, and then they go with Nueva Generacion, Diamante, or whatever. I mean, it was chaos, bro. It was so tight.
You speak better Spanish than this Mexican here. Thanks, St. Paul.
I did do a little extra research in regards to what they said. And apparently, they said they're just tired of laughing at all the chump luchadors, and they're going to bring order to the clown show and demonstrate true lucha libre. So they want to get rid of kind of some of the BS, if you will.
Clown.
So Iguana being the first gimmick guy to get smoked, I guess, when you think about it.
Jordan, for Halloween this year, will you go as Mr. Iguana?
I mean, I could easily do that.
You could
I think
pull
I got stuff to go on already. Yeah.
I mean, you got the same shape and form.
Sergeant,
you could probably rock Reed really well.
I'm going to look like, who's the scorpion dude from, like, the 90s Spider-Man cartoon?
Oh, that's great. Then we had Tiana Perrazzo defeat Fabi Apache to unify or to champion versus champion. So she is now the Impact Knockout champion along with the AAA Reina de Reyes champion, the Queen of Queens champion.
Yeah, what is this? The super kicks of 2021. Hey, let's all be double champs.
do you have anything you wanna say about the women's match? That was, I didn't get into it as much as I thought I would, so I don't have a good take on it.
Is it because of my Deanna Perrazzo match review I said the other day?
Maybe.
I thought it was still an entertaining match. I mean, there was one of those things like this one, you know, when you kind of spoke about the heel ref as far as things go, this is one where when things actually did occur, you know what I mean? A little more festivities with that. But, like, it was damn good. They both demonstrated good stuff. Like I said, unknowing of the situations as far as, like, their limited availability for shows that I thought I picked this match to be the one where, you know, if Andrade is going to go down, then I thought maybe they would have one of their people stand out on top. But probably that was my mild surprise in regards to this.
So, Jordan, since it seems like your little one is – you know, in shape to possibly take out the former AAA Reina de Reyes champion. Do you think in about 10 years if Perrazzo holds both these titles? Because let's be real, who's going to challenge her in these companies? Will your little one challenge her in 2032?
I think Ryan and I were already booking the futures for 20 years ago. I think it was going to be Charlotte and Andrade's future child versus Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins Jr. And just all sorts of ridiculous spawnings of the next 30 years. I can't remember who the third one we involved in it, but it was fantastic. It was great future booking.
How crazy of a middle finger to the WWE would it be if Charlotte got pregnant? Andrade.
Yeah. He is El Idolo. Let's be real. I mean, what a better way to stick it to that place.
You know what? I'm not going to be here for 10 months. Maybe more.
Yeah. Y'all can kick
and then she's released.
Then the other better thing would be like the other better thing would be like her her waiting to do that until after she regains the title.
She has to hand it over like Becky, and then she just goes to AEW. She's like,
that's
I love. then we had Lucha Brothers, Phoenix and Pentagon defeated Jinetes de Ere, Hijo de Vaquino and Laredo Kid, and also Taurus and Black, Brian Cage. I almost said Black Cage.
Whoa.
This match rocked. I went like 4.25, 4.5, something like that. I thought this was tremendous. This is everything I wanted it to be. Jordan, what was your thoughts seeing guys like Hijo de Vaquino for the first time?
He was tight. I really liked him. Him and Laredo Kid, to be perfectly honest. I honestly kind of like Laredo Kid better. You know, Taurus is obviously a freak of an athlete. I got to give props to Brian Cage. Like, he's definitely a little more versatile than just being a big meat dude. You know what I mean? Like, definitely something cool to see him outside of what I'd call a norm, I guess. you know, Phoenix and Pentagon doing Phoenix and Pentagon things. I know we didn't touch on it necessarily with this one, because there's obviously plenty of high flying action, but we forgot to mention in the, is the next match, the tag matches, or was it the actual rumble there, Battle Royal, where the dude like jumped over the rail and about gave himself in half and severed his C3 vertebrae.
That was Aramis. So he goes in the top rope and he walks like 2 feet across the top rope and does this giant fucking springboard, like flipping swanton, senton splash onto a dude outside the ring. I think it was against, he was doing it to Moco Cota Jr. And he like flips so far that he ends up just like bumping on his neck on the floor after hitting just the guardrail. Like, what are you thinking was going to happen when you're halfway across the springiest part of the rope and you put all that effort into doing this? Like, he went flying. And the dude tried to catch him.
He gave it a good effort.
That was gross.
Jordan, what was your favorite Fido Kid AEW match?
I have not watched any of the Laredo Kid on AEW.
That's where I was like, happy I got the exposure. Of course, didn't you have Ryan that run in last year? I mean, it seems like time is irrelevant in the last couple of years. But he didn't have that match with Kenny, right? But he was the guy that interfered. Didn't he have, like, that jumping off of, like, Paleta scaffold or whatever the hell that was, that big spot meant for nothing.
It was Laredo Kid and Kenny at WrestleMania last year. Yeah, it was El Vaquinho who climbed up and jumped.
Thank you.
Yeah, Vaquinho's the nutcase one.
Busted his shits for no reason.
Then we had La Impresa members
on that.
Was that?
A fun match, the trio tag.
La Impresa, Puma King, Sam Adonis, and DMT Azul defeated Team AAA, Payano, Chessman, and Murder Clown. Big story here was, could Chessman and Payano, who hadn't a places match the year before, coexist? They did a little bit, but it was a beating. This was your typical six-man tag street fight in AAA. I mean, nothing like crazy. I don't know. I don't even think you saw this.
Did they throw a hot empanada grease one of the other guys' faces?
No.
Yeah, this is the match. This is the match I stepped out on.
I can say, guys, I'm Mexican.
Then Kenny Omega defeats Andrade El Idolo, who is escorted to the ring by the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who later found out yesterday.
How hard did Ryan mark when Flair came out?
It was honestly, I think I might have popped harder, but like it was pretty wild. Just because you know what I mean? Like I like Andrade, and then I like the fact that Flair, like, for all intents and purposes, I think Flair's got this kid back, like, on a obviously at a family level, because you know his relationship with Charlotte, but like I think he wants him to succeed. He wants to get him that push.
Great showmanship of solidarity, especially, you know, from the other company that they come from. But like you said, the family bonds, you know, binds them together. And I was shocked as hell. And then Ryan, I mean, did you know that he was going to come out before, or was it just like a surprise, like, for me?
No clue. I will say, expect him any week in AEW. I can almost guarantee that's going to happen.
Yeah, no compete clause, apparently, which...
Mm-hmm.
Why would you agree to that?
Because they're idiots. They're dumb. But I had no clue. I think I was more like, oh my God, like awestruck when it happened.
Yeah.
But, and as I brought up, you know, I mentioned you guys too off air, Ric Flair chartered his own private jet for him, Charlotte, and Andrade, and worked the show for free. Didn't even charge his flat fee normally. Like, even just, like, the standard fee for, like, an indie show, and not like, you know, a bigger show like this, you would assume he probably would have got a bigger payday. He goes, no, I'll work for free.
So what would that be, like 10,000?
I think his flat rate is 10.
Okay.
So my guess is being it's a show like that, they probably would have paid him like
50K.
If they would have wanted to, like, and who's to say what if they were going to, you know, they might not have had any intention to use them. But I bet you when Andrade was like, hey, Nature Boy wants to come with. And he said he'll work for free and he's going to fly us there so you don't have to pay for our trans. I bet you they were like, okay. Yes, please.
Well, yeah, the big wrestling name that's not Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold or The Rock. I mean, the wrestler that's on everyone's Mount Rushmore, I mean, I don't need, they probably still have to compensate in some way. Do you think they at least paid for the fuel back to the States?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, let us take care of you because you are going to make us, you know, you.
Oh,
get
I'm sure he had
fun.
I'm sure he went to a show or two afterwards. Kind of profiling and double figure foreign, you know, what was happening. I thought it was,
daughters are asking their mothers.
So hey, what did you think of the match? And then what do you think of the match after knowing that they reversed the original decision and they did the, that's not going to work for me, brother. Not in the bad way, not in the Hogan-esque way, but just like, hey, we don't want our champ to lose, you know, back-to-back nights, which, you know, before the Rampage Championship match, which I think they booked themselves in a weird way to double title match with the same opponent weeks apart. I thought, why the hell wouldn't they have done that then with Triple Mania and All Out with Andrade before this Pac rivalry?
I think it's fine. I look, if I'm a booker and I know that I am going to be using your contracted wrestler in my company. That I understand that there's going to be situations where your contracted wrestler is going to need to have special stipulations where they can't work a date because you're running a show, or there's an angle going on and you are going to have booking power over that. I respect that. Like, I would have never booked Samoa Joe to come in and lose to Joe.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like, and Bob Ryder, you know, RIP, never once said any stipulations about it. They said, this is his fee, and then he's yours. Boom, I paid it, and that's it. But, you know, I just, if they're like, look, you know, Tony Khan calls me and goes, look, we have no problem that Andrade is going to beat him for the title. Hell, we're booking Andrade, too. We had to call a little bit of an audible because we kind of changed our plans a little bit with our pay-per-view. And to spice something up, we had Kenny lose the Impact title last night on our first Rampage to get a pop. We'd like him to not lose 2 days in a row because it's going to hurt his credibility. I would say, yeah, as my champion, I don't want him to lose credibility either because that's going to make him look weak. So that's cool. We'll revisit this in 6 months. And if everything's going fine, then we'll have Andrade be our champion then. If I'm Andrade,
they're not
going to
give it
the
Psycho Clown. Come on, why Andrade?
You know, if I'm Andrade, I go, cool, man. We're just doing business. I get it. I'm not mad. And they did it great. I mean, the way that match, Jordan, I want to ask you about this. When Flair gets in the ring and starts chopping Kenny Omega, and then chops Conan, and Conan takes a bump like he's Will Ospreay off of that chop. And then you have Andrade and Flair doing dueling figure fours. That was worth it right there.
Oh, price of admission right there. Easy. And rumor has it is Conan is still selling that that chop action.
I mean, this
Ryan, did he get chopped so hard that kid still got hit by that car in that promo?
Maybe. he chopped him so hard. He jumped like Dick Togo when he went off the apron through that table. That's what it reminded me of. Remember when Dick Togo hit my
elbow? He
just
elbowed
fucking
to the table.
Yeah, he channels Macho Man. Well, I'm gonna put myself through the table. Yeah,
shit.
He did that, channeled it, and just dropped him. Like that's what Flair chops Conan, and Conan feet up in the air, both of them. Like, he's straight in the air. Like, goddamn, Conan. That was great. It was so good. I mean, it was really good. Like, I went 4.5. I thought it was really fun. You know, I had said this to Alex Jordan. I wanted your thoughts, too, since you watched it with me. A lot of people said it wasn't as good as it should have been. But I think the problem was they worked a really good story-driven match in front of the wrong type of crowd.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's not a match you don't do that style of match in front of a hot crowd who's expecting 800 moves in 5 minutes and no stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if that would have been in front of, like, an ROH car, oh, my God, they would have ate it up.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I joked about it. I was like, oh, rest hold. Look at this Okada guy right here. And, I thought it was a fantastic match. Pacing, even with the pacing, you know what I mean? Like, it could have been a more Lucha-esque, because both of those guys could obviously do it. But I don't think it was needed either. Like, I think I'm gonna go almost different to you. Like, you could say, yeah, it's not necessarily the crowd that definitely enjoys it. But I feel like that, because of the extra fact that they will fight again at some point,
yep.
I think that just builds it for the next one. You know, the next one for them to turn it on its screws and say, you know what, we're gonna do this one a different view. You know what I mean?
And it makes even more sense why they work that, since they know they're gonna have another one.
Yep.
You know, they're like, why should we give it all away since we're going to do this again? I loved it. I thought it was really good. Alex, I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but I recommend watching it. It was really good. I thought it was really good.
Any mentioned or imagery of La Sombra? Did he come out, like, holding a mask or anything?
He came out wearing the mask like he did on AEW, and then he took it off.
Okay. Which is awesome.
He
came
up from the ground.
Fantastic.
He comes up from under the ground like Cody Rhodes, and there's smoke everywhere, and he's got this dapper ass suit that he takes off, he looked like a star. Like, and that's the one thing that everyone's been saying, and I don't disagree, is like, this guy looks like such a flipping star, but he just can't get over an AEW for whatever. Like, he's just, it's like he's awkward, he's nervous over there.
I mean, to be fair, I would say yes, because he's trying to utilize, you know, his English speaking capabilities, which is kind of hard because, you know, when they had the subtitles one week they wouldn't have them. He would have a translator, you know, all this stuff back and forth. Again, I give him kudos, tons of credit for, you know, trying and, you know, showcasing what he's learning over the years. But I think, you know, as we try and, you know, with Chavo Guerrero, you know, kind of on his side now and can kind of play, you know, that heelish manager, that Paul Heyman-esque, you know, for AEW. I think that could work well for him down the line. But, him and Pac is a match is probably in my top three, top two, maybe, that I'm looking forward to at all.
He's so good. I can't wait for that.
They were feuding. I was like, oh, shit, get that now. Oh, you're going to save that for a pay-per-view? Awesome. 22 minutes. That's all I need.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is Evo Vikingo, is he going to be next in line then? Did he have a title shot from that jaw-breaking moonsault off of the top there he did last year? Or is he going to be next in line, Cleaner, do you think, for Triple A?
I think he will get the next shot, because now you got to do a couple title defenses before you go back to Andrade. And then main event, we get Psycho Clown against Rey Scorpion in a Poisonous match. They honor the late Super Porky, Psycho Clown's dad, and Rey Scorpion takes the the Super Porky framed picture and breaks it over his head.
Whoa.
To get the heat going. But this is fun. This is a good match. I mean, obviously, Psycho Clown wasn't going to lose his mask, but it wasn't as good as the year before with the Dr. Wagner Blue Demon or that was 2 years ago, last year, the Chessmen and Payan match where they're doing dives onto their head in between chairs and all crazy shit like that. But what did you think of the main event, Jordan?
I thought it was good. It almost did have kind of a residual slow burn feel to it, but still had some of that, you know, the extras with some of the hardcore aspects of it. But, like, I don't know. I thought it was a good match. Like, I really did. I'm not particularly fond of any kind of clown, but, yeah, it was good. And then, obviously, it was like, you know, the Psycho's sister, you know, interfered, and obviously Scorpion had things happen, and then things just went weird and wild for the finish. I guess not what was, I think, planned or what I would feel would be normal for such what historically would be an honorable match, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'll take it. It was a good show, though, all in out.
No cinder blocks in the main event, though. Like you said, just the picture smashing, huh?
Yeah, that was the version of the cinder block. But it was
got to cut costs cool. Somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good event. Glad you could chat a little bit, Jordan, with us.
Wait, Jordan, before you leave, another question for you. If you're in my shoes, I'm officiating one of my good friends' wedding on Friday night. 48 minutes. Barring traffic and construction to the United Center. I will be done officiating around 5:30-ish. Hopefully the reception is around 6:30-ish. You know, we do the eating. You know, we hear the speeches. We have fun. I know probably 90% of the people at this wedding. It's going to be crazy. Do I dip out around 7:30? Go to the United Center. Cry because CM Punk is there. Get some merch since I didn't get my Money in the Bank 11 shirts that I still kick myself in the ass for. And then get back to the wedding reception by 11 o'clock where, knowing my crew, that's where shit's going to get real. Would I be a bad friend if I do that, Jordan? Honest opinion.
No, I think here's what you got to do is if you do it, you just... You make it absolutely innocuous and just like, oh, I'll be like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, be right back. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, you come back after, you know, the show and stuff. And, you know, like, you know, you'd be like, oh, yeah, when they were dancing the shout, it was great. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Like, you just kind of throw it out there. And then, like, you could reference anything that always happens at every wedding and be like, just like you were there. So, like,
yeah.
You know, you'd be like, oh, we just must have kept missing each other.
Man. I want to take the groom though. Like that's the thing. I'm like, hey, can you leave your own thing? And then of course, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm really wrestling, no pun intended, with what I want to do. Because as I've always done in my life, I'm all about life moments and experiences and going to baller ass events. So, man, I don't know. It'll be
look, I don't think you can necessarily take the groom for that long. He's unfortunately going to miss out. But you know what you can do is you can say, hey, I got you a shirt, and he'll really get a good kick out of it, I'm sure.
Look, and I'll just say that if this was my wedding, I would leave with you. I'm going to be honest with you and come back.
Whoa.
I'd be like, listen.
You wasn't even invited to your wedding, you nerd.
What's that?
But I wasn't even invited to your wedding.
I don't think I invited anyone from work because I was not working at Toys R Us when I got married.
I thought you did because I went to like one of your like pre-wedding parties and then like people were chopping people in the downstairs bar with the
table.
Oh,
you went to the? Did you go to the bachelor party?
I think so.
The bachelor party was we went and watched UFC one, the UFC 100 with the
at that
and
sports
Josh
bar.
Josh.
Me and
he had to take them to home.
Darius Dreams were getting our fun on, if you will.
Yeah, these,
and then I spent a whole bunch of cologne on me. I was like, oh, I just like this instead of the other thing. What an asshole!
And Josh had to take what's his nuts? Demetrius Albee's like, I swear to God, if I miss the GSP fight, I'm going to beat your ass. He's all mad. Because we got him in. He wasn't even supposed to be in there because he wasn't old enough.
Oh, okay. Okay. God, that was crazy. Jordan, were you there? Did I, like, meet Jordan unknowingly that night?
I didn't go to that.
I was at the wedding,
though.
Damn. Thanks, Ryan. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why he went to the wedding but didn't come to that.
Wait, so was your hair, like, straight, or did you have, like, in a cool ponytail, Jordan, at the wedding?
Ooh, I don't remember if I had the long hair or not then. I think I did. I think I was rocking a nice high and tight, like, you know, top knot.
Oh. Coming back, that's 2023. You're here first.
It's almost there, man. It's almost there. It's luscious right now. Luscious.
that's the one thing that's nice for Jordan now that he's working here with me is he doesn't have to worry about being Johnny Damon for the Yankees anymore.
You're the New York Yankees.
Did you get Clemente?
I did. I finished it while I was on the stream here. Also, shout out to Luke for cracking that Shohei Ohtani diamond card. Also,
you got a Shohei? That's what's up.
Yeah, like the regular, like 85 one or whatever.
Oh, that's trash. All right. Well, I will be there soon here, so we can jam and stream this beautiful game.
We're also going to be some Hideo Nomo rookie
cards. Hideo
Nomo. Got the Hideo Nomo rookie card. Leave 95 boxes online. Get them now. You can't get this anywhere. Anywhere. My dog West.
It's the best. It's the best. Alex, my regards, sir. Remember, gentlemen out there, make sure you get your lady flowers. Life will be all good. Deuces.
Cut that bitch off.
The end of charge, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that guy was more lifted than me, and that never happens.
He doesn't work tomorrow. We have now officially gone 13 minutes past your 90 you wanted here, and we didn't even get to any of the reasons why we were doing the show in the first place.
To talk Triple Mania.
It was a fun show. You should go watch that Omega match, though, if you can.
I want to watch Triple Tag, the Lucha Tag. That was my number two match I wanted to see, and then the ladies' match, but I will politely. I will say, though, I did listen to Deonna Purrazzo on Busted Open today, and just personality and that stuff. I was like, all right, I'm a fan. I mean, I already was a fan, but I was like, oh, I like how she loves business, studies the business, and, you know, has been a champ for that company for, God, almost this whole calendar year. So kudos to her. Just, you know, maybe appreciate her a little bit more.
That's tight, though. That's tight. No, I'm agreeing. Like, I think Pronto's good. Like, I think she's really good. And I think it, as shitty as this is to say, is I think a lot of what hurt her from getting to where she should have gotten was like there was like a 6 month period where she like had this drastic change to her physique, and I think people like took it as she was lazy and didn't care, and I think that set her back, which who gives a shit? She's a great worker. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This isn't the Divas era anymore. I just think people are douchebags, and that had something to do with it. I won't get there. I'm not going to get you into it, but I'm just like,
especially her ex, right?
He's fought in a little blood 16-year-old, mate. I don't know. Is that a terrible accent?
I didn't know he was Australian, but yeah.
Oi, Bluey.
Oi.
So, whole reason we were going to do this show now that we have 15 minutes left in the show was I wanted to talk this NXT change and why I don't disagree with Vince McMahon for doing what he's doing.
So Vince McMahon essentially neutered, castrated NXT with a couple of releases, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Bronson Reed would be one of the top names, especially after getting a main roster tryout. Especially with him showcasing, you know, like Jordan said, Brian Cage can move around, you know, especially for a guy his size. That's how I felt about Bronson Reed or Jonah Rock when I saw him, you know, a couple of years ago when you showed me some of his stuff, you know, PWG and some indie stuff and what have you. But that was, you know, kind of the biggest surprise. You know, the other guy that's a part of the Diamond Mine, Rust is his name?
Yeah, Tyler Rust.
Thought he showed pretty damn good good potential. Crazy that they're, you know, kind of getting everyone taken off. 13 NXT stars, yada, yada. I'm just trying to pull up a list here. But neutering that, scaling back on what they like to say, over 30 midget wrestlers, I believe was the quote. They're trying to steer away from the ROH PWG era. NXT has been over the last, you know, 4 years, which, hey, it's not a bad thing, but it looks like they are going to go back to that Florida championship wrestling where, you know, it is a, you know, a roster of people where you can actually see something. Bobby Fish was the other name. Thank you, Bobby Fish. One of my favorites, Corey Sterling, a.k.a. Alex Zane, Jake Atlas, Kona Reeves, Leon Ruff, Stephen Smith, who was the ref, Tyler Rust, Zachariah Smith, Asher Ayo, Hail, Giant Zanjir, and Mercedes Martinez. Expendable, you think, on some of them, but again, scratching my head on about half that list. But, Ryan, the rumors abound. NXT is, as I just stated, kind of going back to its roots of a developmental company, but also taping about 3-4 shows at a time. And its home network, USA, apparently not pleased. But, Ryan, why do you think Vince McMahon, more importantly, Nick Khan, and let's not forget the guy who loves, you know, kind of classic wrestling or the nostalgicness of it all, as we've heard for 5 years on Something to Wrestle, Bruce Pritchard, for sure, I'm sure, you know, as he speaks, he doesn't like any current, young, or what have you. But, you know, some names on here, and why do you think they are in the right? They are in the right, whatever, but is this leading up to something big, as the rumors have been abound of putting that bottom line for a bigger cash pot, if you will?
So the weird reason, like the weird reason why I say I don't disagree with why they did it is if you look at it, like we can look at this. So like Bobby Fish, why are you paying him all the money you're paying him when he's 45 years old and you have no anger?
Jesus. I wish I was like that at 45.
Yeah, 45 years
old. But injuries, for sure.
Agreed. And you know, I love Bobby Fish as much as the next guy too. I'm
Red
the same boat,
man.
But think of this: if you, Alex, you are running Pro Wrestling Summit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
I wish
you're spending all this money on Apex Wrestling, and they haven't given you a star. I don't know.
Ever?
Well, no, don't say ever, because Kevin Owens.
Oh.
Like going to the NXT route. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, putting you in that same spot, you know.
Yes.
Sami Zayn, guys that you knew were going to be stars. I mean, Ricochet, you know, he's a great hand, and, you know, Matt Riddle.
Like, say, like a Kelvin Tinkman, if you will. I think
yeah.
can be
so
a star.
So, like, if you saw Bobby Fish and you said, this guy's not going to draw a dollar on my brand, why are you paying me all this money to have him if he's never going to be on your roster? You don't need him. There's no reason to have him. I don't want to shit on the guy because we're fans. Alex Zane's not going to draw you money on the main roster.
You don't think he will?
No, not at all. None whatsoever. Leon Ruff is not going to draw you a dollar.
No.
Tyler Rust, you know, I thought Russ Tyler was really good in New Japan Strong. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good signing, but it didn't make sense to me because they don't use wrestlers like that. He saw the guy and said, I'm not going to use that guy. Mercedes Martinez is over 40 years old. She's probably not cheap. Why are you keeping her? And on top of it, Mercedes Martinez already came up to Summit Alex and she asked you to leave and go back to Apex. What do you have a reason to keep her for? You know what I mean? Jake Atlas is as bland as anybody.
Yeah, but he's like an action figure and doing interviews. And then he gets, murked.
From what I had heard, he had an offer with AEW and he turned it down to go to NXT. Terrible mistake. I bet he's kicking himself for that one.
That's not going to happen again.
That kind of crowd would have used him, you know?
Yeah.
Coda Reeves has been there since, 2010. You know what I mean? Why are you paying him?
Bronson I thought that meant someone else when it was going to Reeves. It was like, that guy.
You know, okay, Bobby Roode, but he was already established and everything. Street Profits. Okay, there's one you turned out. The Revival should have been, but they didn't know how to use them. America Alpha issues. Bronson Reed, I think, is good. I think that's one they should have done, and they goofed on that one. And they even had him up there. But if you look at this and think of it in this vacuum. NXT, when was NXT must watch for us? Almost before Adam
when they
Cole
had Walter and Dragunov. What's that?
I honestly to me when we covered NXT weekly was I think before Adam Cole got there.
No.
Remember those takeovers? Like, oh my God, how great was Austin Aries and No Way Jose? how excited are we for American Alpha versus the Revival or DIY versus the Revival? Instead, and that was because that was it. Remember how great that four-way was? Tyson Kidd, Pac, Sami Zayn. Remember that shit? It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Cesaro and Sami Zayn. One of the best matches I've ever seen, that 2 out of 3 falls match. But when you take it in a vacuum, all this must-see NXT for the most part, I'm not saying all of it, for the most part, was great until they stopped bringing people up to the roster. Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, all these guys were fantastic, and they'd work for a year or so, and then they'd leave the territory. And then we get all the new crops. Yes, new guys, new people to sink our teeth into. And now we've watched Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa wrestle and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly wrestle 74,000 times.
Nine times.
I mean? Think about that. We were yoked for Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah.
And then when they broke them up and they stopped calling people to the main roster, if you think about it, the last time they brought people to the main roster, and I could be wrong on this, was when it was EC3, Street Profits, Lars Sullivan, and Sanity.
Oh, don't you mean when they brought up Cole, Gargano, Ciampa, and someone else for two shows and then...
And Ricochet?
Voila, you disappeared. Oh, and Ricochet. And Black, then?
Because remember Black and Ricochet wrestled for the tag titles at
Team, Didn't they have a Mania match?
Yeah. But they both, to be fair, they both did stay up there.
Yes, but that was the one time where it was just okay, two out of the six.
Well, Ciampa got hurt.
Just see you later.
Ciampa fucked up.
Yeah, but you have a name. You have, wrestling, years among you with, not Ciampa, with Gargano and Adam Cole. And now, Adam Cole, his contract's going to be up after this Sunday, rumors to be believed. And, of course, all his buddies, his, you know, girlfriend, you know, is over the other company. Apparently the meeting went well with Vince McMahon a few SmackDowns ago. Apparently, again, from the dirts, he's not going to receive a main roster push. So if you're Cole in that situation and you were brought up and you led that Survivor Series NXT team to that victory and you looked badass on the Raws and the SmackDowns leading up to that because Vince let his crew stay in Qatar, wherever the hell they were at, for Crown Jewel, and you're just like, huh, this guy was mad over with that audience and they just shipped his ass back to Florida. And you're just like, you had the money right there. You had a triple threat, champion versus champion versus champion. People were looking forward to, and then yoink.
And well, and that's my thing about it all is like, you know, I don't think Gargano would have worked on the main roster anyway. I don't think they would have pushed him.
What, his theme and song then, or his Seth Rollins gimmicks?
The fact
I'm
going to
be a new superhero. In my gimmick.
It comes up to Vince's chest. but that's my point is like when NXT was about developing the next group of stars, it worked. It was effective. It was enjoyable. And it stayed fresh and different. When it ended up, well, that new Hugh Jackman looks tight. It's coming on HBO Max. Watch that on Friday. But when it came to giving Triple H a vanity project and making it a third brand and just letting him do whatever he wants, where he just literally signed every – he would send Regal to PWG and say, tell me who to sign and I'll do it. And then they just started signing all these people. And then it just – and it turned into a brand that just didn't work because at the end of the day, you're the Triple H to the MLB. You're here to feed us new talent. And when they stopped doing that, it stopped being compelling must-watch TV for a lot of it. We always watch the takeovers, but go back and look at the past descriptions. We stopped talking about weekly NXT.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just was like, it was awesome when it was a rotating territory with new faces all the time. Because you always got new things, and that's what it should be. And then when you get put head-to-head with your competitor and they beat your ass, why would you want to keep putting millions and millions of dollars into this thing?
And then when I would try to watch an NXT show going head-to-head with All Elite Wrestling, it just seemed like they were trying too hard to impress, which it was just like they were straying away from made them stand out from even, you know, the unquote superstars Mondays and Fridays. And it was just like, we're going to run this, we're going to run that. Hey, here's Dexter Lewis, he's a stalker. Hey, here's, you know, Shotzi Blackheart, she rides a tank. It was just like they were trying to make it what we saw on Mondays and Fridays. And then they even cut the wrestling down. That's what always made NXT stand out, is they had an average about, 12 to 15 minutes per match. And that's helped, because again, it gave them that time in the ring.
We used to be so hyped over takeovers.
Yeah.
I mean, think of those.
I mean, this
those,
one's
those,
on Sunday is going to be great, but that's because we're going to watch someone get murdered in the ring with Ilya Dragunov and Walter. But
I think Dragunov's winning the title.
I think so too.
And I hope so, because rumor is Davey Boy Smith's going back there. And I really don't want Walter losing to him. Nothing against Harry Smith, but I just don't want Walter losing to him. But with that being said, do I have a valid point where I agree with Vince? Why am I funneling money into something that's not working?
Ooh.
Yet, when I had more say over it, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Which in turn, Alex, pisses me off even more that I think I'm right about that. Because then why don't you fix your two fucking shows on USA and Fox then? If you understand how to fix that, and here's the thing, too. Say 6 months from now, NXT turns into what it used to be, where it's a rotating door, it's bigger guys, it's simpler, and there's not every match trying to be a Hall of Fame WrestleMania match. and it becomes enjoyable again, I'm going to say the same thing. I told you that when it became a Triple H vanity project, it wasn't going to work. And two, Vince McMahon's a piece of shit because he can't fix his main stuff that he should be fixing, but he can prove that he still has some kind of a mental capability to do this.
Ooh.
That's what bothers me.
About the heat.
That's what bothers me. Because if this change works, then you need to look at your shit on Mondays and Fridays and fix that too.
Oh, agree. But they're not going to because they deem it as perfect.
Yeah, cool, because they already got paid. I mean, what do they need to change for, you know?
Yeah.
Ah, but I don't know. Like I said, I really felt like for the first time in ages, I don't disagree with Crazy Vince.
Yeah.
I truly, from a business standpoint, look at that and go, you lost to a upstart competitor company started by a super fan. And you have not given me a... Who is the last NXT star that they've got?
Adam Cole, baby?
No, I mean like main roster.
Oh.
Who's the last person on the main roster that's been a star? Street Profits were decent. You know,
but then they fought ninjas.
And everyone's going to say to me, Ryan, you dipshit, Bianca Belair made event at WrestleMania. Okay, I get that, but she's been booked like shit, and she's losing all momentum she's had. She might not even wrestle on Sunday because they probably got COVID.
You think
Sasha
she got
Banks
it from
Lollapalooza
since she went to see Megan Thee?
Sasha Banks is an anti-vaxxer.
No!
Yeah. Oh. And she beat her ass on Friday, and they probably got COVID from it.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Paid the cost to be the boss.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg, No Limit, Sun, Blue Case album. But like, okay, I get it. Yeah, you could say Bianca Belair, you could say Rhea Ripley. But the booking has proved that they are just rooting them, or not even the booking. But doesn't Bianca Belair feel a little different on the main roster, whether it's booking or not? Like, she just doesn't seem
too mainstream, if that makes sense, where it's just like they're just trying to fit it into their mold, which I don't mind. I mean, I like her and Bayley, you know, minus the hair, you know, try to stand up the leg in their first match. I really did enjoy their cell match. I enjoyed that rivalry, to be honest with you. And then it just made me realize how precious Bayley is before she was forced to practice and get hurt for 9 months to a year. But that's besides the point. But with those, I like that feud because it kind of made your champion, you know, kind of be on the lookout. You know, it made them, you know, especially with her being, you know, so new to not only that spotlight on Friday nights, and also, as you stated, main eventing a WrestleMania with Sasha Banks, but
which is
you know,
great.
It,
5-star match.
Oh, gotcha. And for that, you know, I think it needs to be like, okay, we need to get you on that daily grind, not Rumble, pop, lead up Mania history. You know, like you said, lose momentum. Yeah, as I stated, win the Rumble, you have a pretty damn good build up, and then you make history by main event with Sasha Banks as two African-Americans at WrestleMania for a women's championship. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to go anywhere but up, you know, from those sequence of events. But I think she did damn good with the Bayley thing. And I don't know who she's competing with now, Carmella or Sasha again. But, you know, she's battling COVID, allegedly, apparently.
She's feuding with Sasha Banks and Sasha's an anti-vaxxer, and they both missed the weekend house shows for unforeseen circumstances.
Undisclosed.
Yeah. It tells me that they're trying to get them tested every day to get cleared.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Mercedes.
They don't have that extra day this year with us. We didn't even do a SummerSlam preview. SummerSlam on Saturday.
When So, like, now tell me if this makes sense, because I was thinking about this today. I think the reason that this SummerSlam is on Saturday and NXT is on Sunday is because they can't do NXT on Saturday at T-Mobile because of the Pacquiao fight. So they flipped the 2 days. So that's okay. So that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah, but they're doing NXT in Orlando, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, it's not even in?
Yeah, it's at the Performance Center.
Never mind, forget it. Like, you mean to tell me in front of 55,000 at the Death Star in Allegiant, you're going to do Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie?
With drop.
I'm going to need to be drunk by the time that match starts.
Man, you're going to get wasted.
Jordan's cooking steaks.
Yeah, did I offend you? I would say, though, this takeover has a pretty damn good card. Not only from the aforementioned someone's going to die in the ring match with Walter defending the NXT UK Championship against Ilya Dragunov, one of the best matches of last... Wow, that was already last year, huh? And for this to happen, yet again, in a bigger spotlight, you know, SummerSlam weekend, it's pretty rad to kind of see. But let's not forget, even though he was doused in embarrassment and failure on the main roster, losing in, what, 2 minutes or so to a Jeff Hardy, not a Victory Road thing, but Jeff Hardy in 2021, who's thinking, why am I still doing this, is having a match with Samoa Joe. And I think this is going to be a fantastic main event. But it just, like, is everyone's perceptions of Karrion Kross now just over because of what's happening on Raw? Yeah, he beat Keith Lee, then he lost yet again.
Yeah, I mean, and the main reason that this guy was over, you took that away from him. You took his woman and his entrance away.
Mm-hmm.
This company just doesn't understand. It's stupid. Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
Like, that's fine.
Cameron Grimes and that one guy. That'd be tight. $1 million title match.
Here's one thing that I think is I'm gonna go Kyle O'Reilly. He's gonna win.
Yep.
As you know, WWE main roster talents, they can't have Twitch channels or whatever.
Yep.
Adam Cole on a stream today said he told his viewers that there is zero chance that his Twitch stream goes away.
Wow. So it's part of his new contract with the E, huh? Or is he going to shock the world and show up in Chicago?
Oh, let's go, man. He's going to show up red all out. He's going to call out Kenny.
Does he take out
Make
Christian?
Make him the champion that night.
Does he take out Christian and says, nope, babe, oh my God. How nerdy would that Chicago crowd go? God, I love Chicago.
Oh, God. Look, Adam Cole, I don't care what anyone says, is a franchise cornerstone. That is a talent that can get anybody over and get any company over.
Yep. He reminds me of a shorter Shawn Michaels.
Well, that's his idol, so it makes
sense. Of the thigh flaps.
Like that's his
really?
Favorite wrestler of all time, yeah.
Wow. That's what I get why Vince doesn't see the money with him. It's because he's so like Shawn Michaels, not moveset-wise, but just the whole total package of a professional wrestler.
You know why he doesn't see him as a star? Is because Triple H does, and he's mad at Triple H right now.
Oh, man. But he's, like, married to his daughter and, like, the father of his daughters.
Well, that's fine, but, you know, sometimes you don't always agree with the one you love. The ones you love. You know.
He loves Nick Khan. Stephanie. Marry Nick Khan.
So Shingo and Bushi tested positive for COVID.
Yeah. And then half of LIJ had to sit out. Yeah, and all the other companies are way to go, Japan.
Are they going to be able to work that stadium show?
No. The Life one? No.
What is that? 25th?
Yeah, what was the Shingo match? What's going to main event that show? Especially with Will Ospreay saying he's not going to go back to Japan until he is, pretty much showcased as the IWGP What the hell was this called? World Unified Heavyweight Championship, Genome Federation title.
Genome. It was supposed to be Shingo and Evil at that show.
Gross.
Yeah. 205 Live, Joe Gacy defeated Grayson Waller. And your main event, Andrew Chase, was defeated by Ichabod Jiro.
We love you, Jiro.
Just thought I'd point that out there. I still want to know why the hell Hideki Suzuki's even in NXT. He's like 50. And why he's going as Hachiman. Why is he called Hachiman?
Isn't that
City
that,
of Chicago has officially announced on Tuesday that they will be issuing a mandatory indoor mask rule for all sporting events, including Rampage, the first dance on Friday.
No!
Fully vaccinated guests are not required to wear a mask while at the United Center. Masks are recommended for all unvaccinated guests and will be provided for guests upon request.
Sweet. I don't have to wear a mask when I go to wrestling on Friday. Leaving the wedding on Friday to go see wrestling on Friday. Because CM Punk's on Friday. Oh, my God, Ryan. CM Punk is going to be in AEW on Friday.
I'm going to, like, Summit might start at 10:05 if this thing runs over.
It's hard for me to find happiness in life where I'm genuinely like, wow, that's really neat. Or, huh, because I always have like a dour sense in the back of my mind where I'm like, oh, well, that little thing didn't, you know, make it, you know, what I wanted to happen. But like, I'm legit giddy where I'm thinking about leaving my friend's wedding to go see history, see CM Punk and a crowd of 14,000 plus go nuts and be excited.
There's
and 21, happy.
21,000 at United Center.
I might cry. Again, it's hard for me to convey emotion and cry in my life, even though if I see like a wrestling moment or hear specific music, I'll break down, movie, TV, what have you. But if that shit happens and I'm there, we're watching it at the wedding bar, I will full scale break down as a human being and as a man. Because I didn't think this would ever happen.
21,000. So here's some breaking news for you. After it was previously reported here on EWN that the original finish for the Kenny-Andrade match was to have Andrade go over, more details have emerged. On Tuesday's episode of Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer revealed that multiple finishes to the match were pitched before the ending was finalized. According to the report, the initial finish for the match was to see Andrade defeat Omega. As a result, he would become the new AAA Omega champion. This plan remained in place until it was decided that Christian Cage would beat Kenny Omega for the Impact Championship at the first episode of Rampage. Following Omega dropping the Impact World title, it was decided that he should retain the AAA Mega Championship. This remained the plan until Kenny Omega arrived at the event, where he was informed of Ric Flair's surprise appearance. At this point, Kenny Omega pitched to losing the title due to interference by Ric Flair.
Wow.
According to the report, AEW President Tony Khan was fine as well with the title change happening at the event now. However, AAA settled on keeping the belt on Omega for the time being, despite interference from Flair during the match. This is believed to be because they have a future title match for Kenny already in mind for later down the road. So Kenny said, "Why I should lose it with Flair interference," and AAA said, "We have something else we still want to do, so let's not do it yet."
Ooh.
So once again, if anyone wants to shit on Kenny Omega, what about that man who came in and was like, no, I want to lose the title.
Just
I want
watch that be in the Elite where he goes off on the fans and he just drops multiple F-bombs. I'm shocked, but I was like, I get it. Like I explained to you, like AEW was just a meta within the inception of independent wrestling that is a grand scale of a billionaire's wallet. Where it's just like, hey, we're summarizing what we love, and we're going to bitch about everyone that watches it, whether you love or hate us. And it can get a little at times, but I will say, Kenny Omega as this character, as the belt collector, I've grown to appreciate because he is having fun. He is still putting on pretty damn good matches. And also, you know, this, you know, the Bucks, I'm kind of over. Like, it's the same shit. At least with an Omega match, he kind of changes it up, you know, here and there.
Samoa Joe also said that when my release came, it was only a few hours later that Hunter called me with a new offer ready for me to go back to NXT. So it was an easy transition. He also then got me cleared to wrestle, and that's where we're at now. So
he's defiant.
Maybe that's the other thing that pisses Vince off is they fire the guy, and then Triple H's like, I'm going to resign him. And then he brings him back to his brand. He puts him in a title match.
Do you think he got Danielson cleared years ago?
Who knows? This is the weirdest year in pro wrestling. It's like I said to you earlier. Impact has a title change on AEW TV, to which AAA is asked to not have a title change with an AEW guy and a AAA guy that are both in AEW, only to then have a guy show up on New Japan talking shit about All Elite, which another All Elite guy told the New Japan guy that when he gets his rematch, it's going to be an All Elite. Just think about all that I'm saying. Like, just think about this.
It's a good time to be wrestling, man. Just not on Mondays and Fridays. I'd say Fridays is a little different, but on Mondays, I just can't.
Well, I'm working on trying to get something set up. So on Monday nights, I'm going to stream and go head to head with Raw. Trying to get it all set up. It may be a throwback Puro show called Renaissance Pro is what I might call it.
Or you can find them.
For those of you who didn't check it out. Well, yeah, I could do that, but I like wrestling. Women can't give me that in and out and knock down an emotional roller coaster. They just piss me off.
Must find the wrong women.
That's usually the case. It's literally been the case. I will have to say, though, if you haven't, go to the Twitch stream. Monday night, I think it was, I did it. Yeah, it was Sunday night. I did a stream. Alex, I wish you would have jumped in. You would have popped.
Oh.
I'll give everyone the results if you want to go take a look at it. 9 matches on the card. Your opening contest saw PN News defeat Terrence Taylor of the York Foundation.
PN News.
Your second match saw Arn Anderson defeat Johnny B. Badd.
Yeah. Whoa. I mean,
third match saw
the Brainmaster, right?
Like 7 DDTs. third match saw Too Cold Scorpio and Marcus Bagwell defeat the Hollywood Blondes.
Ooh.
We then saw Rick Rude defeat Dustin Rhodes. The Great Muta defeats Barry Windham by knockout after biting him until he was bleeding, stabbing him with a fork, and then giving him a moonsault that knocked him unconscious. Then in a relaxed rules match, we saw Cactus Jack defeat Ron Simmons. Then in a hell of an effort, but you can't defeat violence, Vader defeats Sting.
Wow.
We then saw the Steiner brothers defeat the Road Warriors. And in your main event, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defeats the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Wow. That's Chicago Stampede. That's a good throwback. Not going to lie.
I had a lot of fun. When I had to go, here comes the Rat Master, PN News. And then, oh, here's his opponent, the computerized man, Terrence Taylor of the York Foundation. A lot of fun. Alex, we went way longer than you wanted.
Meh,
by full
shit
hour.
Happens. Wow. Yeah, like in 40 minutes.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm going to skedaddle. You can continue to talk if you'd like. I still have a stream that I said I would do, and I got to work at 8:30 in the morning. So.
Bitch.
Look, there's this new game called Splitgate.
Uh-huh.
It's like Halo. And we got a free version of it.
I don't know. That sounds like something you should be starring in instead of streaming. Splitgate.
Split Vag.
Oh, whoa.
Shout out to Chelsea Green, who said she goes commando and felt terrible that Billie Kay had to take her shorts off when she broke her wrist and smell her badge after wrestling. It's a really funny story. She goes commando.
Don't we all?
I'm actually do not have any underwear on right now.
Watch out, ladies. He's single.
Hey, ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too good. Alex, we will have to figure out if we're really going to try this all-out thing. I'll let you know come tomorrow when I see what I find out in the HR department of my back office. if I say yay or nay. If the thing that I was told to do didn't work, then I'm going to say nay. But if the thing worked that I was told to do, I'm going to make a phone call to you. So.
I will cry like I'll cry Friday nights at the AEW Rampage at the United States. Oh, joy.
That being said, y'all, you should, oh, shit, never mind. I was going to say we should do a post Rampage, but I can't because I'll be on the summit.
And I'll hopefully get my 7th gin and tonic.
Yeah, you'll
at
be
at the United Center.
Shout out to Eva Marie, who said she wants to bring Brock Lesnar to her Evolution.
Oof, gross. Oh, so that's she's going to get the other guy, Brock Jr.
Shout out to Conan, too, who tagged the wrong Ric Flair and the wrong Charlotte Flair
account on his photo. I remember you sent that. That was wacky shit.
Legit, like, fan, those, like, fan accounts that I was telling you about that are, like, Alexa Bliss and, like, Bray Wyatt and stuff. And people are like, Conan, those are, like, role-play accounts.
No silly Cubans. Jeez.
Arriba Raza. How many white people have screamed that in their day not knowing what they're yelling?
27,000.
I would say millions.
You could fill the United Center probably with all those people.
Well, yeah, but he was doing it every night.
Jesus.
He'd go,
Conan was ripped back in the day. Not as Max Olale. Yeah, he didn't know anything.
What's up, Coco?
Man, I want to get jacked like Conan in
90s. He was
house
in the 90s. Yeah.
Jesus.
That's the reason he got brought into WCW. I remember, if you want to see an awesome match, go
back
to
Mexican Hulk Hogan.
Slamboree 96, I think. Not 95 or 90. I think it's 96. But he defends the title at the Great American Bash against Jushin Liger. And it's while Liger's doing the CTU and he has this black and gold outfit on.
What did you think of Juventud Guerrero, by the way, coming back to TNT and wrestling and Jericho?
That was one of the worst matches I've seen all year.
Wow. Okay.
Holy fuck, was that terrible. There was one point where he's trying to get on the top rope and, like, get himself set, and Jericho's just standing there with his arms sideways waiting to catch him, but he's not jumping. And I'm like, what are you fucking doing? And it was Slamboree, I think.
Ah.
Trying to find it. Here we go. So 16 matches at Slamboree 96, by the way.
16? So it was a bevy of four-minute matches.
So the American Males defeated the Shark and Max in 239.
American Males.
Here's American Male. Oh. Road Warrior Animal and Booker T fought Road Warrior Hawk and Lex Luger to a double countout at 654. The Public Enemy defeated Chris Benoit and the Taskmaster at 444. Rick Steiner and the Booty Man with the Booty Babe defeated Sergeant Craig Pittman and Scott Steiner at 821. VK Wall Street and Jim Duggan defeated the Blue Bloods at 346. Dick Slater and Earl Robert Eaton defeated Disco Inferno and Alex Wright at 256. Diamond Dallas Page and the Barbarian defeated Meng and Hugh Morris at 515.
Ooh.
Fire and Ice, Scott Norton and Ice Train defeated Big Bubba Rogers and Stevie Ray at 332.
R.I.P. Big Boss.
Ric Flair and Randy Savage defeated Arn Anderson and Eddie Guerrero at 4 minutes and 4 seconds. You had Flair, excuse me, you had Flair, Savage, Arn, and Guerrero for 4 minutes? That's ridiculous.
It's the best payday of their lives, sure, or one of the best.
Dean Malenko defeats Brad Armstrong for the in the Cruiserweight Championship match in 8:29. Then Dick Slater and Earl Robert Eaton defeat DK Wall Street and Jim Duggan in 4:08. The Public Enemy defeated Ric Flair and Randy Savage by forfeit. Diamond Dallas Page and the Barbarian defeated Rick Steiner and the Booty Man in 5:05. Conan
Gross.
Defeated Jushin Liger in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Diamond Dallas Page won the Battle Bowl at last, eliminating the Barbarian at 9:33. And the Giant defends the World Heavyweight title, defeating Sting in 10 minutes and 41 seconds.
Wow.
When Luger accidentally hit Sting with the megaphone.
Thanks, Jimmy Hart. Also, shout out, not shout out, but RIP, as you mentioned. You know, Robert Eaton during that time, but beautiful Bobby Eaton, RIP, a hell of a talent. Always was a fan of his, you know, especially with the WCW, the Saturday nights, you know, that I would see him, you know, of course his stuff, with William Regal or Steven Regal, whichever one you want, was awesome. And just hearing over the years, the various wrestling podcasts and the respect, and they said, no one was more natural in the ring than Bobby Eaton. Maybe go back and watch a few of the suggestions I heard here over the years. And yeah, I mean, he was definitely a post pro, apparently the nicest guy in the room, and very sad, you know, to see that. And hopefully everyone out there for a couple of weeks since he's been gone has, you know, opened up to, you know, seeing and watching his stuff over at Peacock. And hopefully that shit's available over there. But RIP to one of the best, that's for sure. Kids, go do your research, and you will not be disappointed.
There's a tag match I'm posting on Facebook. If you ever, you or anyone else haven't watched, go watch. I promise you. It was the Rock and Roll, or it was the Midnight Express against the Fantastics. It was really flipping good. Really flipping good. So go check that out.
Dangerous Alliance, bro. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the Dangerous Alliance, Rick Rude. The leader's Rick Rude, so you're already set as it is. And then you've got Larry Zbysko, Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson, and Steve Austin with Paul Dangerously as your manager. Get the fuck out of here.
How is that not the best faction of all time?
I think they're definitely one of them. I think the the match with, it was the Dangerous Alliance against, it was against Sting, I think, Sting, Luger, Dustin Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, and who was the other guy? But it was at War Games.
Yep.
I'm gonna try to find out which one it was here. But that's not what I want. I want War Games. I can't find it now. Google. WCW War Games 93, I think it was. Fall Brawl 93. That's what I was goofing up. Fall Brawl, let's see. Nope. That was when Harlem Heat were Kane and Cole. That was the Shockmaster one. The Shockmaster!
Gross.
Gross.
But the Blue Bloods, again, that was...
Yeah, here was
the... That's
nope,
just...
that's not it either.
Uh-huh.
So flip. 95? I didn't think it was that late. Nope, 95 was the Dungeon of Doom. Couldn't have been 96. Wow. I am really confused.
And
yeah,
on that
like
note,
I'm...
we'll see you next week.
I gotta figure this out for my own sake. Here we go. Wrestle War 92, Sting Squadron. Sting Nikita Koloff, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, and Barry Windham defeated the Dangerous Alliance. Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, Steve Austin, Larry Zbysko, and Rick Rude. That is the best Warriors match ever. Way better than Sting, Elegante, Barry Windham, and the Yellow Dog against Cactus Jack, Kevin Sullivan, One Man Gang, and Arn Anderson. And obviously better than Sting, Ron Simmons, Tom Zenk, and Robert Gibson against Nikita Koloff, One Man Gang, Diamond Stud, and Richard Morton from the York Factory.
Oh, that was in Jacksonville. Do you think a young Tony Khan was there?
You got the Wikipedia.
He's from Champaign, Illinois. So I mean,
do you have the Wikipedia up, right?
Yep.
Number 18. I did not know that that was a real look at that match.
Oh, of WrestleWar. Let me go. 18. What do you mean?
It says Matt, like the 18th War Games.
Oh, is there? I'm just looking. Wrestle War 92.
So it says the Four Horsemen: Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Sid Vicious, and Larry Zbysko.
Wow.
You mean to tell me Zbysko is the Horseman, and they defeated Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiners?
It's not good.
I guess Zbysko was just an added. That shit's weird. This is dumb.
I used to hate a lot, but realizing as I got older, he was just great at what he did, whether it was on commentary or as a wrestler. And again, it's just one of those guys. All you marks and marquettes out there, if you want to study a wrestler, you know, alongside Bobby Eaton, study the psychology and the microphone work, the daggers that he could put into you, especially when he was heelish AF. Larry Zbysko, again, hate him, but again, that just means he was doing a fantastic job.
I totally forgot. That was the one where Sid kept powerbombing Brian Pillman and his head kept hitting the cage, and then Elegante ran out and threw the towel.
That doesn't work for me, brother. That's funny.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm getting out of here, too. It was a fun show. I knew it wouldn't go 90 minutes.
Come check out next week where we will talk Dragunov and Walter. And, of course, cue the music. Dragon Dia. I mean, PM Pop. We'll see you guys next week.
I don't have their music, so I'll just play this.
Got any fat chains?
Sorry, bro. I'm all out, man.
Man, I got these cheeseburgers, man.
I don't want any cheeseburgers.
Please, man. I fucked your dick.
Ew. Get out of here, man. Get out of here.
Man, can you hook me with directions to Grinshaw, man?
Boy, you better get your crusty behind away from me.
Man, I fucked your dick, man.
You say to me?
I'll
fuck
your dick, man.
Oh, man. All right, so what you want to do, my man? Go to the corner, go about three blocks down, and make a right, and you'll be right there on
Rough Cavs Radio.
Such a classic.